my good techniques that's like a belt drive techniques turntable is currently beltless, so I gotta get on that.
Can you, is that something you can repair yourself?
It's a funny story. I've looked up ordering these belts. They're weird. It's kind of rubber band like, but not elastic in any way. It's like kind of a perfect fit situation. And the one website I found that sells belts for it at a reasonable price says, yeah, we don't know exactly which one of these is for the Techniques 989. So we'll just send you both of them. And if you could be so nice to send us the other one back, that would be great.
That's pretty cool though.
Yeah.
So, I admire that.
I just need to get on that at some point. So.
All right. Well, this is the Shotcast, your home for video games and turntable
professionalism.
Repair.
Professionalism.
Top notch.
Yeah. So it is the Halloween season, y'all. Yep. There is a chill in the air. Cold, crisp nights here in lovely Nashville, Tennessee. Justin McFerrin is with us. You can vouch for this. It is a brisk night, but it is lovely.
Yes, I have a blanket. It is that cold in my house.
I have a candle.
<It's>, I have a chair chopped up for wood.
That's right.
An oil can, should things progress to that point. So in addition to Justin Boom Boom McFerrin, we have the other stalwart of the Shotcast, a founding member, if you will, Mr. John Dolan.
I'm responsible for this shit.
Yes. In more ways than one.
Yes.
And also with us, once again returning from hiatus, his on-again, off-again podcasting schedule.
His love-hate relationship with the Shotcast.
Yeah. Much like the Brokeback Shotcast, he can't quit us. Mr. David J. Anders.
How's it going?
You know, great.
He's on the contractually obligation tour.
Yeah.
Contractually obligated tour. Monty Python had a title, like their album was titled that or something. Like,
I was just about to say that very thing. The contractual obligation album actually is quite good.
Yeah.
Good stuff. And hilariously named. So, yeah, so it is that time of year when video games appear to be coming out, not just the indie video games, the surprise sleeper hits, if you will, but actual honest-to-goodness AAA title video games.
Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, before we jump into the Battlefront beta, which I feel like is going to be a thing that is discussed, and I missed completely.
Mm-hmm.
First, we're just going to kick it around the table, make sure that nobody is malfunctioning.
On fire.
Well,
currently on fire.
Let's start there. Justin McFerrin, are you on fire?
I am not on fire.
Check twice.
Looking.
No?
Looking.
All right, no good. Fire.
Yeah, so what's up? How's life treating you, sir?
Life's treating me well. Should I be going through... should be playing more Metal Gear Solid, but I'm not. I took a couple weeks off of playing that, and I'm just letting that stew. See if I actually...
A tasty MGS stew. Go ahead.
See if I actually want to commit to finishing it. And I've just heard so much stuff around it. You know, like the story starts to fall apart. The longer you get into it, sounds like Konami really didn't get to finish it. There's a lot of stuff behind it now where it's like, this kind of sucks hearing this, like, behind-the-scenes news.
Yeah, I've been trying to avoid it as well, and it's inevitable that that stuff leaks out, but I've not gotten to the point yet on that game where the gameplay has started to let me down in any way, so...
Not
to encourage Metal Gear Solid, because that's not where I come down on this
issue. That's not what you're about, man.
No. But... I mean, is the story really that important to...
Yeah, that was what I was going to jump in there. But, oh, no. The Metal Gear story isn't good or makes sense? What?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't finish the thing that is the most nonsensical part of any Metal Gear Solid game, and is that necessarily a bad thing?
Yep. Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably just makes it like every other Metal Gear Solid game, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, I've never played all the way through, but I did watch, I've seen every Metal Gear Solid game, major Solid game, like, you know, the numbered games,
yeah,
played to completion. So I have seen every game played, and yeah, those stories are just garbage.
Uh-huh.
It's just like a crazy, you know, American, like, military movie pumped up on crack with like, everyone like, betraying everyone.
It's like trying to watch like a crossover episode of like Miami Vice and the A-Team.
Was there such a thing? I would pay good money to watch that.
No, I'm just trying to think of something that would be totally. It maybe throw Battlestar Galactica in there too, so what's his face can have two roles in the same show. Metal Gear Solid stories, it's exactly like what Justin's describing. It's just this kind of mishmash of action film tropes, and then I feel like a 13-year-old wrote it. Yeah. It's the easiest way to describe it. Then the guys with the robot helmets, with the eyes that light up, they showed up also, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, filter through like a crazy Japanese dude's fever dream.
Yep. Oh, and then that guy that doesn't have any hair, he's got like skull face, but he wears a cool cowboy hat. Yeah.
Stop it.
I'm not even making this up. That's the game.
And I like boobs and butts and also space whale.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, it's fucked up.
All right, Justin, by just invoking the name Metal Gear Solid, I feel like you failed the show. Let's try David. How are you?
Hello.
He's just moving on. You're on a 10-minute timeout.
Yeah, we'll get back to you once you've had your Metal Gear moment.
Oh, Jesus. I've been good. Busy with work. We've got product launches coming up, as well as some big games coming out that I'm sure we'll talk about when we get to the game releases.
This is neither the time nor the place, but all
right. Right. But otherwise, yeah, good. Personal life is as insane as usual. And yeah, playing some video games. Right. They're not Metal Gear.
Excellent, excellent. All right, you're my favorite on the show already.
Yeah.
John Dolan, how are you on a personal level before we get...
Oh, on a personal level? Okay.
Yeah. Pre-game. This is all pre-game. This is this is analyzing the offense and defense before kickoff.
Okay. I didn't play Metal Gear Solid either. And, personal, went to a pumpkin patch yesterday.
Nice.
Spent about 4 to 5 hours there because this place is bonkers awesome. Like, they've got big giant trampolines mounted in the ground, and they do, like, pig races. They race little pigs around. They've got air cannons you can shoot apples out of, and they've got, like, downrange, they've got all the, like, football team logos painted on steel plates, so when you hit them with an apple that's doing 200 miles an hour, it makes a nice bong noise. And corn maze, everything you would expect at a pumpkin patch, but just crazy insane. There must have been 3,000-4,000 people at this thing just walking around all at once. It was nuts.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
it's nuts. Crowd. Oh, it's insane. Like, there was... You look out at the parking lot, and they must have had probably... I bet it was maybe 20 acres of land for parking, and it was full. It was crazy. So
now, is there wagering on the pig races?
No. You get to name them. So they do three pigs. They let them out. They have like a house, and then there's like a circle track that's like, you know, inside outside fence. So they're kind of trapped in this fence, and they let them out of one side, and they run around to the other side because the pigs know that on the finish line there's chocolate milk available. Apparently, pigs love chocolate milk, so that's why they race.
I'm really starting to doubt myself now because I also adore chocolate milk.
No, I think this harkens back to our discussion of long pork. It's all interconnected.
Yeah, but once again, the tie between that episode and this episode, which I should say for the record, is episode 84.
That's right,
of the Shotcast.
True.
So yeah, that sounds like a good time. I think this week I'm gonna go out and do some Halloween decoration shopping as well. I don't have any yet, and I don't
get it. Yeah, pumpkins. I do pumpkins basically. Maybe a couple orange lights, but I don't get too into that.
You know, I like the a little bit of door hanging that.
Little little cobwebs.
There you go.
You know, I've got a garage now, and so that seems to come naturally.
Nice.
I don't have to generate cobwebs. They just sort of...
just bring them up?
Yeah. I could just run a broom across the ceiling of that garage.
Going down to get some webs. Be back.
With a pail. The cobweb pail that we go down to the cobweb mines and...
Did you get that at Lowe's? The cobweb pail?
Yeah, right next door to the Radio Shack.
Yeah. I also went to Virginia Beach last weekend and hung out at the ocean for a while, which was fun.
So. Yeah. Is it, I imagine it was still plenty warm for that.
Yeah, day. I mean, you could get in the water and there was like an initial cold shock. It was probably, like, I bet the water was like 70, I don't know, maybe 75 degrees. I mean, it was cold.
Yeah, it's kind of chilly, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's ocean, you know, so. But it hasn't turned yet by like early October, so it's not super cold and the weather was, you know, nice. It was like 70 degrees. And, just hung out by the water. Stayed at a hotel that had heated pools, so when we got tired of being in the freezing ocean, we went and floated around in a pool that was 83 degrees for a while, so.
Oh, man. Heated pools are just the best.
Yeah, and it's like, they had two outdoor pools that were heated, and then they had the indoor pool, but it had, like, big garage doors that could open up and kind of expose it to the outdoors. And it was, you know, nice enough all weekend that thing was open the whole time. And there's a bar right there, and it's awesome.
In the pool?
Was yeah, right next to the pool. Yeah.
All right.
Fantastic.
That does sound great.
So, yeah, living the high life, man. Pumpkin patches and ocean. Can't beat it.
Speaking of living the high life, you know, as we were discussing a little bit previously, I recently moved yet again.
Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah. Two moves in 2 years, not the way you want to live.
No, I know. Trust me.
But...
I did two moves in a year or so?
Oh, that's retarded.
Yeah, well, like I said, my personal life is retarded.
But
never not interesting.
That's true. That's what you get.
Yeah, that's the old Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. That is a good way to describe my life at the moment.
A curse? A Chinese curse specifically?
No, interesting.
Not just a curse. It's a Chinese curse.
Yeah. David J. Anders, Chinese curse on legs.
Yeah.
But we did end up hiring movers on both ends of this, which is totally the way to do it.
Oh, absolutely. Okay.
You know, I mean, you're just a fool to do otherwise. And I made the mistake of doing some of the upfront moving myself. And yeah, that's never happening again.
That'll learn you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was foolish. And I mean, to the point where, like, you know, my aged, decrepit, slowly decaying body, you know, just ate up with bad knees and swollen ankles and shit. I mean, like, after the move, I was like, look, I'm going to need some sort of rehabilitation program. you know, preferably one that involves a lot of bourbon. And I've since engaged on that.
Bourbon and Pilates. I hear that's great.
Yeah. I actually...
Stretching and alcohol.
Well, what I found is that thanks to Groupon, I've been able to attend a lot of first classes for Lamaze.
You really got your breathing down?
Yeah. So, you know, you belt back a couple of scotches, go to Lamaze, but it's only the first class each time.
You got to do a different scotch each time, though, because you can kind of get that, ooh, smooth.
Yeah. And
nice and slow.
So I haven't gotten too deep into the Lamaze program. I mean, in fairness, not meant for me, but...
Yeah, great place to pick up women.
Sure. Yeah, I'm about to say the same thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, a lot of women who make bad decisions, and that's my kind of gal.
I stole John Travolta, something like that. This is the joke, and look who's talking.
Yeah.
I stole John Travolta's joke for the show. That's how low I've sunk.
Yeah, quoting look who's talking. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm trying to get a 10-minute timeout. All Justin had to do was mention Metal Gear Solid. No.
And you're done, Dolan. that's how you do it. That's the secret. So, video games... As mentioned, have been coming out. Some of them have been played, and we will spin the old wheel and see who is going to tell us what they have been playing first. And Justin McFerrin.
All right, so I haven't played too much. I picked up this game called Fly Wrench. It's the same guy who makes Nidhogg.
Oh, yeah.
And it is really weird and hard to describe. It basically is like a very quick reactionary puzzle game where you're trying to navigate the fly wrench through a level, and you tap a button on your joypad to just kind of fly in place. And then throughout the level, there are these different barriers of different colors, and you have to change the color of your fly wrench so that you can pass these barriers. And those have negative consequences where, like, say, yellow might be the barrier you cross, and then as you're crossing it, it makes the fly wrench spin, which makes it bounce off a wall, and then you have to try and control it. And there may be yet another color very close. And then it's just really hard. Really short levels and like instant replay.
Is it kind of got like a, I think I looked at this, it's got like kind of a vector, like yeah. Old school vector, like line graphics, like Defender or, not Defender, what am I thinking
Tempest.
Of? Tempest.
Yeah.
Or Battle Zone, maybe.
Yeah, and then I've also heard it compared to, like the franticness of it compared to Super Hexagon. Have you guys ever played that?
No.
I'm familiar with it.
But. That's a fucked up. That's like Super Meat Boy level of hard, like twitchy, quick reaction time, you know, very unforgiving kind of a thing. But
I'm not against that. I do have my breathing down now that I feel pretty zen when I play a game.
Finally, I can play Spelunky after all that Lamaze.
And if I ever have a kidney stone, I feel like I got that.
Breathe your way through it, push that fucker out.
Uh-huh. And the trick is that you breathe in, you know, like three breath, like, and then push.
And squeeze as hard as you fucking can.
Yeah, yeah.
Shoot out a window with that stone.
finally knock out that top left corner window of Old Man Johnson's place.
That's right. So Fly Wrench.
Yeah.
Fly Wrench. But it's a ton of fun. You know, as soon as you run into a wall or you inevitably don't make it through the level, I mean, it instantly starts you over. So you sit there and you're like, I want to play this for like 5 minutes. And then it's an hour and a half later.
Nice.
And the soundtrack's killer. It just really kind of sucks you in. It's a fun game. I think it's $14.99, I want to say. On Steam.
I read some about that where it was a game that he actually made before he released Nidhogg.
Yeah, so there's been a demo of it for a really long time, but then this is like something like 170 levels, and then there's extended soundtrack, all this other stuff. It's just an expansion, of course, on that demo.
Oh, cool.
Past that, I played some more Rockets, 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 which I put some videos of that up on my YouTube channel. If you really want to see that, it's a fun game. I know we've been talking about that for a while. We definitely played some Battlefront beta.
Yeah, we played the shit out of that for, at least I did with you guys for one night. Did you get back to it?
I think I hopped on the next day or two and played some Walker Assault. I didn't really do much else.
Did you ever win a game as the Rebels?
I did. I won one.
Really?
Yeah, one game.
I didn't win a single fucking game as the Rebels. Not once.
Were you playing Hoth?
Yeah. So
okay,
that was
okay. Let's get into this, because I didn't get to play it at all. So I want to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly of this. Is it Battlefront 2 level good?
No.
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 All right.
No, it's not. It's something else. If you try to think of it as like, I want this to be what I remember Battlefront 2 being like, or what I wanted that there was like in some boardroom, there was a trailer that was released that was Pandemic Studios before Pandemic got shut down and showed like somebody flying an X-Wing fighter from the ground into space and doing like space battle. Like if you wanted that game. It didn't get made. It's not that.
Yeah.
So you have to like temper your expectations and think of it more as it's not even like Battlefield. It's coming from DICE and it's different than that, even. Like, it's some weird cross between Battlefront and Battlefield. I'm not quite sure.
Are there classes? Is it class-based like Battlefield?
Not really. You're kind of, you're just like a rebel or you're an Imperial.
Yeah, there's the weird card things that add, like, modifiers to things.
Yeah, did you play it on PS4, David?
No, I played it on Xbox.
Sorry, yeah.
I didn't really get into the online too much. I think I played part of a match for a little bit. I did the, whatever the defense thing was.
Oh, the Horde
times.
Mode. That's the one thing that.
Yeah.
I didn't try that. What's that like?
It's all right. I mean, it's, once you figure out how the game controls, it's not that difficult. Like, the first time I played, I got killed pretty quickly, but... once I figured it out, I was like, oh, this isn't that difficult. And
how are, so we played it on PC and I started, so I have my Xbox controller hooked up to my PC and that was fucking garbage.
Really?
It was impossible to fucking aim with that thing. Like, I could not hit anybody, and I switched over to mouse and keyboard and just night and day, like no problem. Headshots. Hmm. Whatever, like the sensitivity for a controller on the PC version was fucking shit. It was terrible. So I don't know. Like, do you feel like there's some sort of an auto aim or like a stickiness to the reticle or something?
I read that they, like, someone on there, some article, I don't remember where it was, that said, oh, you know, don't, aiming down the sights doesn't help, and that's actually gonna have a negative effect on your playing, which
especially
is bullshit.
If you're a stormtrooper, right?
Which, yeah, that was complete bullshit because I was aiming down the...
Stormtroopers are really bad shots.
Yeah, they are.
Star Wars.
Star Wars jokes.
I haven't seen the movie yet.
Really? You haven't seen them?
No. I've heard good things, but I'll get to it.
It's only been like 35 years. You know, so.
Anyway, but yeah.
It's only been out your entire life.
It got spoiled for me. Like, I know the whole Darth Vader secret, and I felt like, well, I kind of know the gig.
It's
like they're like, oh, you know, aiming down the sights isn't going to help, which is fucking bullshit. It actually does help. Mm-hmm. It's not an iron sight like, you know, most like Battlefield or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
But it works fine. It was okay. It's not. It's definitely not what I wanted it to be.
No.
But then again, it was a beta, so maybe the real game will.
Yeah,
be
I'm hoping that. Like, the experience, when we were all playing on PC, it was me and Justin and our friend Andy and Mark. We had all four of us on. And one of the things I disliked about it the most was that the four of us couldn't squad up together.
Yeah.
You only had, a partner that you could do a partner spawn on.
Well, that's got to be beta, right? Surely.
I don't know, man. It seemed like it was, like...
This is DICE we're talking about.
Yeah, it's got to... I mean, I don't know. But that was seemed like a real weird choice if that's how it's actually going to be. And then I didn't find out until after we had played for a while that you could switch to third person.
I was playing pretty much third person straight away.
Yeah, which I preferred in Battlefront 2, but I didn't actually like it that much in this version. Like, I flipped back over to first person, which normally I would never do if I have a third person option I usually play. But I felt it was just easier to – maybe it was because I was doing mouse and keyboard –
I played both ways. I actually kind of preferred first person. It felt a little bit more natural.
Okay. Right.
You do get a better look at the battlefield if you're in third person.
And you get to look at your cool ass fucking stormtrooper. That's the best part, you know.
Oh, I didn't play stormtrooper.
Oh, man,
I didn't get a chance to. I got placed, or maybe I did. I don't remember.
Yeah. Well, what did we play, Justin? For like maybe 3 hours or something?
I think I've got about 2 hours something worth of video. Yeah, I mean. It's just, we're going to talk about it later, but like, you know, the game was pretty unbalanced. There's some weird stuff going on when, like, you would spawn in and you'd spawn in and just instantly get killed because the spawn points were right in the middle where all the
kind of open. Yeah, that happened a bunch of times where, especially if you did a partner spawn, like, you'd spawn in and you'd see immediate, because you're invincible for like a second or two when you first spawn in. But somebody's like on a turret, or there's a bunch of guys up on, you know, higher ground that are just, you know, raining fucking lasers down on the spawn point. And it wasn't like the spawn point was exactly the same spot every time, but it was close enough to where if they just kind of camped out, they could totally spawn camp you, which was, that's a big fucking no-no. Like, you shouldn't be able to do that. Most of the complaints I feel like we had when we played were that Walker Assault map. And then we switched over and we did the one that was the, what was that called? Pod? I forget what it was, but it was the mode was drop pods. Yeah. And you, it was it like 8-on-8? It was less than the Walker Cell mode, but yeah, I think it was 8-on-8.
Yeah. Something like that.
But then, so like a pod would drop out of the sky and land on the.
Oh yeah. That's the one I did.
Yeah. And then, so you'd race to it. You had to capture it and then hold it for 30 seconds or a minute or something, and then another pod would come down. And I liked that one because it kept the game kind of moving and it forced people to move, and you couldn't really camp. I thought the map on that one was really cool. It was the from the new movie, what's the planet? Sullust, and it was like kind of a volcanic environment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then the game's beautiful. I mean, it looks...
Oh, yeah, it looks great.
Yeah, but it's...
But yeah, I played that, and I was not really into it. I was like, that kind of sucks. Like, the game mode itself just wasn't great.
Yeah, we ended up having more fun with that than the Walker Assault. I don't know why. I think it's because we just kept getting our asses handed to us as rebels.
I think so, too.
Got tired of losing.
So, all right. Again, as someone who hasn't played this and is extremely fond of Battlefront 2, to the point that I've got a PS2 version of Battlefront that I can still play on my old PS3.
That's ready to go. I've got the same thing going on. My Xbox version is sitting here on top of my Xbox. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the limiting... All right, let me just put it this way. A question for the three of you. Mm-hmm. Is this something you feel compelled to buy day one based on the beta you played?
Nope.
Not at all.
Wow. That's disappointing.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm also not a day one person in general. But this is even one of those that I'm like,
all right, but Fallout 4, you're gonna pick up day one, probably.
Yes. I am.
This is definitely one I'm gonna wait for, like, either a major price drop or I'll pick up a used copy like 6 months from now. Like, that's how unimpressed I was with that beta.
I'm thinking, I mean, I just love just the fact that it's got a Star Wars skin on it is enough to get me to buy in, I think, earlier than a major price drop. The only reason I think I'm not going to pick it up day one is I want to see what happens when it's released. I want all the, like, there's no way I'm buying this game before it's been out for like 2 weeks. And just because I want to see all the server issues go away, like, if I do get into it, I want to have the best experience possible. And I just don't, I don't know, maybe it comes out and, because there's a whole bunch of different maps and, you know, there's like, what's the fucking Endor level that looked really cool. You know, like the whole forest scene looks really, really awesome. But the thing I'm most afraid of is, I have something else I just thought of here too, but the thing I'm most afraid of is that it's going to be this gorgeous game that's just kind of a real generic shooter, which is kind of what the beta felt like to me.
Yeah. Yep.
The most disappointing thing about the beta for me was piloting vehicles. It was a real fucking bummer because especially TIE fighters did not feel anything like they did in like the space battles in Battlefront 2, which I fucking loved. Like, I would just do nothing but boot up those ship-to-ship space battles and just fly TIE interceptors for like 4 hours. I just fucking loved the way that it controlled. It was super fun. And flying around in TIE fighters on Hoth was just really clunky, and the battlefield was super small, and it was, for me, the biggest letdown of what was there. And unless there's some, because they've said there's just not space battles in this game, so, like, my favorite part is not there. So I'm going to have to wait and see if something amazing, you know, that they haven't talked about or shown yet is going to just be like, oh, okay, fuck yeah, I'm going to get in on this now, but I haven't seen it yet. So,
yeah, they're going to have to change a lot or just show me something really magical that I can't live without. Otherwise, it's going to be a winter sale or summer sale type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I just I posted, which I'll talk about in a little bit, I posted Mad Max on the Facebook page. They were selling it for $20 on Bundle Stars. That's a fucking steal for this game.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking steal. And, you know, if EA has that problem where, because they've got their Origin service, they don't put shit on sale like pretty much any other game would go on sale if it was on sale.
Oh, right. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
They just fucking cling to those higher prices for as long as they can. So unless you can get it. I don't know if you can buy it anywhere other than Origin. Like, if you could get it on a Bundle Stars or a Green Man Gaming or something like that. I don't know if you can get keys for EA games in those places. So, unless there's, you know, like David's saying, like, you know, I bought Mad Max on release day for $47 from some one of those, you know, cheapy sites. I can't remember which one it was, but it was like a legitimate Steam key delivery, all that stuff. So, you know, if there's within 2 weeks of release of this game, like a $10, $15 off, you know, I would consider picking it up. But, you know, contingent on like what Justin was saying, that there's some magic in what's yet to be seen. So
does it feel like, I mean, obviously there's no way to know for sure, but does it feel like they're holding anything back? I mean, obviously there have to be more maps and maybe even more game modes, but
what I'm worried about is that they put out that Hoth level, because that's like the most epic fucking battle in Star Wars. Like, yeah. If, you know, you're talking about Star, what's the coolest thing that you saw happen in Star Wars? And it's the battle on Hoth every time. And the fact that that level was as disappointing as it was, like, scares me. You know, I don't have a whole lot of faith in this game anymore. Like, I've heard like a lot of, you know, negative, you know, press previews from people seeing it at E3, and, you know, a couple of podcasts that I listen to. One of them has one of the editors for Game Informer magazine on it. He says, "Yeah, not impressed." And the other guy on the show would be like, "No, but I really like Battlefront 2. I'm super excited." And this guy from Game Informer is just like, "No, not impressed." And I think he kind of called it. I'm kind of seeing what he's been saying all this time. So I'm prepared to be disappointed.
Oh, wow. That really is a bummer. That seems
totally,
like,
totally. Like, we had fun with it, you know?
Yeah. Sure. But, like, reskin Battlefront 2.
That's all you needed to do was take that game graphics. And just, yeah, I know. Oh, I mean, that's it. That's all you needed to do.
You like, give it a size noodle 2, soundtrack.
Stick it in the Frostbite engine. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, I think after 2 or 3 matches on Hoth, we all were like, yeah, you know, if this is all this game was, we'd pretty much be done with it. Like, there's not much to do other than lose on that Hoth level.
Right, yeah. It's the whole Titanfall scenario of like, okay, well, I see what this is.
Yep, no, yeah. Robots shooting at each other. This is pretty cool, but that's it, you know. And I really didn't like the power-ups system at all.
That was fucking stupid.
Like, so as you rank up and you get points, you choose cards or you buy like new levels. Like you get a blaster rifle upgrade that's like an ion blast. But all these things have cooldowns on them. And the thing that I thought was like the dumbest choice was you get an upgrade for a sniper rifle and there's a cooldown on your sniper rifle that was like, what was it, like 7 seconds or something like that?
Oh, that's garbage. Okay.
Yeah. So, like in Battlefront 2, your sniper rifle had a lower rate of fire because there was like a kind of a bolt action reload pause, which is funny because it's a laser rifle. But, you know, there was like a reloading, you know, pew, and then maybe a second and a half later, pew, another one would shoot out. But this one's like you fire it, and the thing that was stupid about it is you'd shoot it. It's got a 7-second cooldown on it, but it didn't like auto switch back to your blaster rifle, which I thought it should have done, because I'm not going to fucking walk around for 7 seconds and not shoot. It's fucking stupid.
It's a first person shooter, not a first person waiter.
Yeah. So then, you know, you get grenades and the upgrade system seems really like slim pickings. Like it was not impressive.
So what is the upgrade system?
It's these cards. Yeah. So you get, you choose, like, do you want a, you can only level up to level five in the beta, at which point I think you could unlock the jetpack, which seemed like the coolest thing. I didn't play long enough to get to it.
Yeah.
But you had like a thermal detonator and you could have a sniper rifle. So you could have like three things. You could have your default weapon and then these, it was just two. You could pick left or right. And then how did you get to the center card? I forget what that was.
That's if you pick a power up.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. So you'd have, left card is your left shoulder button, right card is your right shoulder button, and so you could do grenade and sniper rifle, and then you'd have your regular blaster rifle. And so you just pop those off, and they do their cooldown. And then as you're running around the battlefield, there was little icons floating, and they were things like pilot a TIE fighter, or pilot the AT-AT, or
become Darth Vader.
Become Darth Vader. And I thought that was so stupid to dole them out like that, like especially the hero ones, because it used to be when you set up a server in Battlefront 2, you're like, okay, how do you, you had all those options, and it was like, how do you hand out heroes to people? And it was best player in the match, worst player in the match, most recent death, like just hand it out randomly to people. Like, do you want to be Darth Vader? And then you'd hit right on the D-pad and say, fuck yeah, I want to be Darth Vader. But now yeah. It's like you got to find the icon on the battlefield, and then before you get killed, you got to pop it. You got to hit your both your bumpers at the same time, and then your guy will like kneel down. The screen fades to black, and then fades back up, and you're Darth Vader. And it just it was like this.
It seems thrown in.
Yeah, it was really not well thought out. I thought I don't know.
No. I don't like any of what you're saying to
no.
me.
No, yeah. Now that I'm saying it, like I'm liking it less and less. Like I've had a, you know, a week to process it, and it's just like I played it for one night with all four of us, and then went on vacation to Virginia Beach, and I'm like, maybe I should preload this on my laptop, because when we're back in the hotel room and everybody's asleep, I can play Battlefront. And I didn't think about it once for a week until now. So
this is the whole Phantom Menace scenario all over again of like convincing yourself it's okay.
Yeah, I'm
when
not
really it's not very good at all.
It's just not, yeah.
So yeah, unless there's something else in the game that is yet to be released. I mean, it comes out in like what, 30, less than a month, the 11th
like that,
or
yeah.
the 15th or something like that.
I can't see past Fallout. I don't know what comes out.
It's like the singularity.
So, you've been playing anything else, Justin?
The only other thing I did is I went back and I played the Medal of Honor games, like the two most recent ones. So there's like Medal of Honor Warfighter, and there was just Medal of Honor. And
I'm sorry.
They don't. Yeah, I mean, I always liked those games. That was like my first. Like, clan I was ever a part of was Medal of Honor Allied Assault clan. So I've always liked those. I wish they pulled the plug on ever making another one a couple years ago after Warfighter came out. But, I don't know. I felt had a little nostalgia going in me, so I went back and played those yesterday and beat the single players in both of those.
Man, Allied Assault was real good.
Yeah,
I have the regular, the Medal of Honor release you were just talking about. I have that in my Origin account, and I've never played it.
I mean, those two specifically were, I believe, written, at least the Warfighter was written by, like, Navy SEAL people who were in the Navy SEALs.
Huh.
So the missions are, like, way super realistic compared to something like a Call of Duty or even, like, the single player of Battlefield 4. And I think that's part of what, you know, really isn't that over the top.
Scratching your arm itch.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it's fun to just play a single player game, but it's been a while since I feel like I've played like a really good first person shooter that had a good single player in it.
Would you say that time in between playing really good single player has come to an end now that you played Medal of Honor single player?
No, not really. It's not the greatest game in the world, but I wish that they would do something similar to it. I don't know. It feels
what,
like
what is what is it about the Medal of Honor series that you think differentiates it from, you know, Battlefield or Call of Duty?
Especially well, in the past two games, I definitely say more of the realism, more of the. I mean, there's a mission in the just the one that's Medal of Honor where. You're basically inserting into Afghanistan somewhere, and the helo that you that you're on, like it's shot down or something, and you're essentially like fighting your way to this helo to where you're just insanely surrounded by bad guys, and at the last second, these Apache helicopters come over the cliff and like save you. It's, I mean, I don't know. It's whereas in like Call of Duty, you would be like. Saving New York City from being blown up or something. I don't know. You know, like it's
and
just
nobody
a,
wants to do that.
I mean, everyone wants to do that. I don't know. I don't know. I just like that. It's a fun game.
Hmm. Maybe I'll have to boot it up. Although, yeah, I mean, I have Origin installed because I wanted to play the Battlefront beta. So.
That's the one upside of being kind of occupied over that weekend is that I didn't have to reinstall it and feel like I was tainting my computer somehow.
Taint.
I did find out, Steam will let you basically just copy the entire folder and then put that on a new computer, and then you don't have to download all your games again.
Yeah.
You just have to, like, run installers. Origin, no. Like,
they should just rename Origin Taint.
Yeah.
Oh, it's yeah. Really, never really change.
Bad.
I like how much John tickled himself there.
Sorry, man. You said taint. It's all over now. I should probably just pack it up.
It led down a dirty brown road for you. I know.
But that's all I've been playing.
All right.
At the very least, we should start a competing game service called Taint.
Taint, yeah.
You know, but much like Origin, have as small a selection of games as possible, and half the time they don't work. And if you were to purchase the game anywhere other than Taint, you can't play it at all on the Taint platform, although we will require it.
We only accept returns in the back door. God, I mean, these write themselves, man.
It really... It really does. David.
Yes.
Sorry.
Point us north of the border here and tell us what you've been playing, and so help me if it's fecal related.
No, not really. I've been playing... I played the Star Wars beta, like we said, and that wasn't very good. I played it for maybe an hour, and I was just like, this is not very good. I also recently bought a external hard drive for my Xbox and loaded every fucking thing onto it.
How big is it?
Terabyte.
Nice.
So plugged that into the back. It was like
that's
60,
adorable.
60 bucks on Amazon, I want to say, with tax. Plugged it in, transferred everything that was currently on the system, and then every game I had deleted because I didn't have space on the system for it. So yeah, have that. Played a little bit of Dragon Age. I got the Game of the Year edition with all the DLC. Oh, shut the fuck up. I like Dragon Age. Eat shit.
I like 40% of Dragon Age a whole lot.
Yeah, well. I haven't gotten into any of the DLC yet because I'm not leveled up yet, and I'm still super early in the story because this is like my third character, technically, that I've played in this game. First on the Xbox, so I have a Canary Mage, which is kind of fun. Yeah, playing that, and then I've been playing Destiny, which I've been playing all episodes so far, and that game's real fucking dumb. Destiny is real fucking dumb.
Yeah.
But I love it. Like, it's a game that I can throw on. And much like Diablo, I can just plug my headphones in and listen to a podcast or do something else while I run around killing shit. Because I don't care about the story is so non-existent that it's just like, oh yeah, go here, do this. I'm like, all right.
It's kind of like the curse of Bungie. Like, I remember even way back playing Marathon, that like the story would just, you'd start reading and there was no voice over in that, you know, back when they were doing those, and it was just like, I'm not reading this crap.
Yeah.
this shit is ridiculous. Who cares?
Yeah, this is stupid.
Yeah, there's something about Vader's from space or some shit, and some big giant orb showed up and gave us all extended lives. And
but then somebody came after it.
Right, monsters came after it. Now I have to go fight all these monsters across the universe, and that's fine.
I know that because I've been playing Destiny too.
What?
Yeah.
The Taken King set that came out, like, for $60 has all the DLC, which is why I bought it. Because I played the demo up to, like, level 7, and I was like, oh, this is kind of fun, you know, little first-person shooter thing. You know, and I've got a couple of coworkers who play, and they're like, oh, you gotta play the strikes, you gotta play the raids. I'm like, no, fuck that, I don't give a shit about any of that. I'm fine just running around doing the story missions and, you know, patrols, which are basically go to this place and, you know, kill this many of this thing or gather this crap. And, you know, it's the most MMO that claims to not be an MMO. Mm. Yeah, they're like, it's not an MMO, guys. It really is.
Yeah, if your character can do a little dance on the screen, it's you're playing an MMO.
And if you can spend real money to get more of those dances.
Yeah,
you're playing an MMO.
Yeah.
I watched the live stream that GiantBomb.com did of their the final raid where they kill the Taken King guy.
Oh right, yeah.
That looked irritating as shit.
That's my understanding.
Super repetitive, and like it has like these puzzle elements to it where they had to be standing on specific platforms at specific times so that one guy could then like do this platforming section, and like Jeff Gerstmann from Giant Bomb like did the platforming section every single time. And then Brad Shoemaker, like they had both of their streams side by side, so you could kind of see them doing their different things. And I like left it running and went and made dinner and ate dinner and came back, and they were still playing it like 3.5 hours later because they hadn't beaten it yet, because it was just like the timing was so precise and unforgiving that you just had to do every single piece of this like 30-minute long battle absolutely correctly, or you fucking failed. And it just looked so frustrating. Like I hadn't, you know, if like the day-to-day gameplay of it is not like that, I might consider picking it up, because I like the demo too.
Yeah, the day-to-day stuff is very much just go kill a bunch of shit. Like it's like any other first-person shooter. It's you run around and you know there's the enemies show up, and the enemy designs aren't great. Honestly, I think that the monsters in Halo were a lot more interesting than these guys are. You know, it's just a lot of just run around, kill some shit. You know, try not to die when a giant wave of enemies shows up to kill you. Which
I mean, it's basically from what I got out of the demo was I just felt like I was playing Halo.
All right, let me jump in. So if we're talking Destiny, let's just get this out of the way. So here's the stuff that they changed from the time that the demo came out till now.
Yeah. So quality of life, hands down, way fucking better from Taken King to the demo, because in the demo there was a lot more chances just to get murdered because you walked into the wrong place. Like, which is fine in something like Skyrim, but if I'm playing a goddamn shooter, I don't want to accidentally go exploring because I'm trying to do some patrol, and all of a sudden I'm getting murdered by dudes who have a level I can't even read because I'm so overpowered.
There's the quest log now, so that it will actually tell you, like, hey, here's the quest you picked up, here's the locations of those quests.
And that shit came with the Taken King?
Yes.
Wow, that wasn't the game before.
This
that's
is
bad.
What Destiny should have been at launch.
Okay, yes. Yeah, that's what I've heard a lot. So
and I mean, I did the same thing that David did, which is, hey, you know, the shooting and loot elements of Destiny are intriguing enough to me that a $60 price tag for everything that is Destiny up till now, and I'd heard enough good things about Taken King, that it felt like, you know, sometimes you want to treat yourself. And so I was like, I'm going to, you know, pick up Destiny and give this a whirl. And I haven't played any today, but I've probably played a little bit every day since I've gotten it. And I genuinely enjoyed the shooting. I think it's a pretty game to look at. I can totally see the appeal of, like, if all of us had, you know, Taken King, of grouping up together and running some of these missions, not necessarily the big raids or whatever, but...
But, like, the strikes or something.
Yeah, just, like, jumping in and, like, let's go play this game.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the ghost stuff is a little bit better. Peter Dinklage is obviously replaced with Nolan North now, and
I gotta say though, I did enjoy Dinklebot's just apathy.
Yeah, there was a whole lot of like
dialogue when he showed up is always hilarious because he's just like, whatever, just gives a shit.
You know that every line reading ended with him saying, "What the fuck is this?" And they just
edited
that
part
out. Yeah. The shooting's real satisfying. The loot, they've upped the loot drops in the game.
So much better now.
Yeah, so that you're constantly, like, every time you do even the smallest missions, you're going to pick up a thing or two that may or may not be better, but it's going to at least keep you, like, looking through your inventory and, like, oh, okay, I'm going to grind this down and I'm going to swap to this thing. You know, they've got a character that identifies items that, you know, you can't identify yourself, very Diablo-esque. And yeah, so there are enough of the hooks of Diablo, not as intense as Diablo for sure, but they're there. There's enough of that present that I'm enjoying it. And again, you know, the shooting, it was never that game's problem. And now that they've got a very straightforward kind of quest marker and quest log sort of design to it, it feels like the game it should have been when it launched, and it would have probably not gotten some of the bad word of mouth, that I felt like I heard about the game, which was like, it just feels a little half baked.
Yeah.
And now it feels fully baked, and, you know, I'm nowhere near a level to get into the Taken King part of the story or anything. And like David said, who gives a shit about the story for Beginsies? Because it is all just a bunch of science fiction nonsense. It's, you know.
Did you use the token to boost yourself to 25?
No.
Okay. I made two characters specifically so I could boost one of them. And so my 25 character, I think, is a hunter, or titan rather, and I skipped out a bunch of like the lower level stuff with her because she's 25 now. It's like, meh. Whereas the hunter guy, so I'm playing
legal.
Yeah. Whereas I'm playing like a bunch of like the House of Wolves stuff right now with the hunter, and I'm like, I kind of wish I'd done the titan with this because her weapons are way cooler and she doesn't suck as much as this fucking hunter does.
Yeah, and I just wanted to see the content, even though it's full of science fiction whosamafudges.
Yep.
That you don't really care about, but And there's alright, here's my one major complaint with the game right now, as I've been playing it, is that there's a little too much run back to the tower, which is the city that is sort of your social hub sort of thing. And pick up missions. I wish you could just pick up missions while you're, like, launch out of the mission you've completed, go back to your ship, pick up your bounties or whatever there, and then jump back into the game, as opposed to, I gotta sit through a loading screen as I bounce out of this mission, then another loading screen to get to the tower, then I'm gonna pick up the mission, and then hit a loading screen while I load up the next mission.
Right, then, you have to go to orbit, and then you have to choose your location on the map, and then you gotta fucking sit through all that shit for,
Right, that, if that were more streamlined, but, you know, the load times aren't crazy, it's all server-based, and, you know, I mean, I fortunately have a good internet speed, but, yeah, they could streamline that a bit more. It's not ridiculous, but it's a minor grievance I have with that game. But otherwise, I've actually been having a ton of fun with it. I got a sniper rifle that is really kind of doing it for me that I really like. And, I've been playing a warlock.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I kind of like the abilities that go along with that. I got a pretty sweet grenade, that I unlocked one level ago that, has been entertaining me as I see people sucked into this maelstrom of violence.
Nice.
Yeah. So, like, all that stuff is good. Like, the sound design is great. It looks great. The alien design is, it feels very Halo-ish, but I agree. I don't think it has quite the variety of something like Halo. But yeah, it's kind of a fun game now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's like, cause I played the demo because I knew Taken King was coming out. And the trial that lets you go to like level 7 or something, and I played through it and I was like, this is okay. And I think I got to level 7 in maybe 5 hours spread across like a couple of days of playing. And then I went back and played it after the Taken King patch came out, and my second character was leveled up to level 7 within like 2 hours. It was a fucking absurd. So, and it handles way better. I mean, the guns were, the combat always felt really great, but just like getting around and not, knowing you're not going to get murdered because you accidentally go down the wrong hole and have, you know, a dude show up out of nowhere who's way overpowered to kill you is nice.
I mean, it feels very linear in that way.
Yeah.
But then again, if I'm doing a quest log stuff, I'm fine with it being linear.
Yeah. And the environments look pretty good. I mean, the moon looks fine. Earth gets kind of dull when you're constantly spending so much of the early part of that game there. But yeah, I've done a little bit of Crucible today, and that's, your standard, player versus player shit. It's okay. It's not great.
I haven't touched any of the PvP stuff.
It's really
how I play.
Yeah, if that's your thing, then you'll enjoy it. But for me, I'm not that big on, I had the same problem with Halo. Like, I hated the Halo's player versus player stuff. Because I felt like the guns were always felt kind of floaty, and everybody in those game who played those games were way better than me. Whereas with Call of Duty, I liked how the guns felt in that game, and I was actually could get pretty good at it. And this one, I think Destiny manages to get the feel of the weapons right. Like, they feel really good despite being weird sci-fi weapons. The player versus player stuff is okay. Not necessarily something I'm going to stick with, because I'm having more fun just running around, fighting the AI and periodically running into other players in the world. And I don't give a shit about them being there. Like, them being there is almost non-factor, other than when they're killing dudes I'm trying to kill, which is annoying as fuck.
Yeah, I think, since we've already name-checked him, Jeff Gerstmann had the best description of Destiny, which is, you get a mission, you go somewhere, you shoot a bunch of stuff, and occasionally you hide behind something and then continue to shoot a bunch of stuff.
Sounds like Halo. Yep.
Yeah, and that's the whole game, but it is a very, very good, polished version of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sounds like Halo meets Borderlands.
It's not. The loot doesn't come as fast and furious as something like Borderlands.
Yeah.
But it comes enough that it's still worthwhile.
Oh, yeah. And I think the melee combat in this works pretty well. And there's a bunch of weird pickup stuff you can get, like the spin metal or whatever, and the helium tubes. I have no idea what the fuck any of that does, but I have some of it.
Yeah, there's 12 different kinds of currency and that kind of stuff. All these resources and stuff. I'm like, I don't know what the hell any of this does.
Yeah,
and eventually it'll tell me if I need to use it, I hope.
Yeah, it's super vague about that shit, and then all of a sudden, you'll be trying to upgrade something, and it's oh, you don't have enough of this resource. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean I don't have enough of it? I thought I'd been picking that shit up all day.
I didn't even know it was a thing, and now I don't have enough of it?
Right.
Yeah.
Sounds like oh,
you
time.
Haven't you, you don't have enough weapon parts. I'm like, oh, right. So if I break down weapons I don't use, I'll get more weapons. All right.
Sounds like explaining money to my 5-year-old.
Basically.
Wait, I need this for what? How do I get it?
Everything? Oh, crap.
Oh, wait. I thought you and Mom just got food. Can we just get more food?
I'll tell you the most garbage thing about Destiny still, and we've touched on it a little bit, is anytime you're at the tower location when you're at all the social.
It's like the goddamn Citadel, only worse.
Yeah, you run around and the people that you talk to in this tower area and the nonsense that they spew.
Oh, as yeah, the telling you have to either, go to get stuff, yeah.
Yeah, whether it's story-related, or this is about your class, or this is about how you, level up your gun, or whatever it is all just the most, self-serious garbage that you have seen in a science fiction-based video game in some time.
This is why I play this game with headphones on. I turn on a podcast or I listen to music, and I just fucking plow through this game because I just don't care about any of it.
I haven't gotten to the point yet where I'm just I'm turning down the sound and doing what you're talking about of just, I'm going to throw on a podcast or music, but the impulse has been there more than once of just I don't have any interest in this, and I do like the music in the game, and I like the sound design of all the weapons and everything, and that's the only thing that's keeping me from just cranking the volume all the way down.
Right. Because
anytime anyone starts talking, it's just oh, who could possibly care about this?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I did the 7 levels of the trial, and that was enough to get me to want to buy the game. But that also told me I don't give a shit about what any of these people are saying at any given time. I just, I needed a podcast game, and this is it.
Anyway, so that's...
So I feel like every time I hear somebody talk about Destiny, including you two guys now, that you all are pod people. And somehow you went from thinking, yeah, Destiny's garbage, and then you fell asleep, and pods took over your body, and now you like Destiny.
Accurate, yeah.
Because yeah. I never hear anybody say, yeah, Destiny, it's just fucking great. You really got to try this because this is cool and this is cool. It sounds, and tell me if I'm wrong, but like if a better game came along, it sounds like you guys would just drop Destiny like a hot rock and move on to that better game.
No, for
not
me,
really.
No?
Yeah. Okay.
All like, right. No, it really, honestly, like I said, it perfectly fits what I wanted it to be, which okay. is I like Halo enough. And I've got Master Chief Collection if I want to go back and replay through the old ones, which I may or may not. I was having fun with the fourth one. But I wanted a sci-fi shooter because I don't give a shit about the new Call of Duties at all. Advanced Warfare looked dumb as shit.
No.
And it's like, I just want an interesting shooter that I can throw on and not really think that hard about. And Destiny fulfills that perfectly.
That's what I really want Battlefront to be, is like a sci-fi shooter. And it ain't happening.
The stuff that Destiny gets right, mm-hmm. it gets really right.
All right. Yeah.
All
right.
And, like, all the shooting is good now that the quest log is there. That makes finding your way around much easier. Like David was yeah. saying, that you're not going to wander into an area where you're just going to get trashed right. and have to go through a load screen to get back where you were. All that
bounties
stuff.
The bounties are all pretty clear about what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. There is a solid 85% of that game that is absolutely great.
Yeah. Have you run into the robot guys yet?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Those were probably the more interesting of the enemies I've seen.
Yep.
Because the regular alien guys are basically, like, they just keep reskinning them for various places. I'm like, come on now. I've seen the same four-armed asshole, like, five times in three or four different colors.
That's just a Bungie thing, though. I don't think that's just Destiny, because that's been like that forever.
I will say there are some kind of, you know, in-mission bosses that you'll run into that are real fun to fight.
Yeah, some of them have been. They're mostly bullet sponges, unfortunately, but...
They are, but they also, the way that they move, I think it... Like, you know, Bungie's always been real good about enemy AI in general.
Yeah.
And I think Destiny is maybe the best they've done so far.
Yeah,
because the
so.
Enemies will—they'll try to flank you, and they'll, you know, definitely move around and take cover as they see your patterns of movement and stuff, and like that stuff is real fun. Like I said, if you had, if it were like you and me, you know, connected, you know, partied up on the PS4, running a couple of missions that weren't necessarily like the big raids or anything that take right. hours and hours to complete, but just like, hey, let's hop in and do these two or three missions together. I could see where that would be an absolute blast.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was my next question actually was, you know, if we were just to party up, can you do like four players and just kind of go do quest line stuff or?
There's a way to do, I think you can. I don't know for certain. I know there's some weird. I don't know how if they've actually fixed like the voice chat stuff or not.
Yeah.
But there, I a lot of it's like I know there was a lot of broken like a lot of broken shit with that early on. I don't know if that's been fixed.
Because like a game like Borderlands is an absolute fucking riot when you got four people all playing yeah. it together. That's just a blast. So if you could do that in Destiny, that sounds like that would, you know.
Yeah, you can form, you know, your fire team.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the cap on that is.
I think it's three players. Like three or four, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but you can absolutely do story missions in that fire team.
Yeah.
Okay. Does it run like, I remember whenever we would play Borderlands, we would always have whoever was the lowest level or had the least progress through the story, we would always boot up in their game. And then just kind of play over level. Can you do something like that? Or
you know, I haven't tried it firsthand. My understanding is that if you've completed a mission, you can repeat missions over okay. and over.
Yeah,
again,
yeah.
So that you're just not going to get the rewards. Not,
yeah.
at the
you'll,
end
you'll
of the
still
mission.
Get some, you know, some experience and stuff, but you're not going to get all the cool shit you may have got the first time around, which is fine. I mean,
yeah.
Right. If you just want to grind up some levels, you know, you run back to the Cosmodrome and just fucking do some dumbass patrols.
And that's kind of like Diablo, where if, you know, you're playing with a lower level character, you're like, you're really not getting much, but occasionally something drops that's, you know, useful. Yeah. But it's still fun to just plow through all the fucking bad guys. So
There are goddamn loot crates in this game.
Yeah, there are.
So if that tells you anything, and like I wish there were more of it. I wish it had more Borderlands style loot.
Mm.
But yeah, that's also it's complaining about what the game isn't, as opposed to what it is. And it is a loot game, but it is not a loot game in the same way that Borderlands and Diablo is.
Right.
It's a little stingier with it, but you're still gonna, at the end of every mission, you're going to come away with stuff that, at the very least, you want to look at your inventory and compare against.
Yeah.
And that's all I care about in a loot game. I want to go into my inventory, and I like the way that the inventory works in Destiny. I think it's clever, and it shows you pretty readily, like, here's the stuff you can use, here's the stuff you can't use.
Right, and it lets you see pretty quickly, like, okay, here's where the stats are for this gun versus this gun, and, you know, make what you will with that information. And
yeah, I mean, again, the stuff that Destiny does right, it does really right.
Huh. Yeah.
So
it's all the good stuff you love about Bungie. So, yeah. It's like all the really good stuff you love from Bungie games is there, and all of the shit you hate from Bungie games is also there, and also Activision is, you know, got their fuckery all over it.
Yeah, I haven't looked at any of the microtransaction stuff at all yet. I don't intend to, because it's I'm really playing this as a single player diversion.
Yeah,
and
that's exactly how I've been playing it.
You know, like if at some point I can totally see us, you know, hooking up and running some missions.
Well, you'd have to have it for Xbox.
Well, it's not how I roll, man. but Art Dolan, if you got,
I mean, it sounds like something I would enjoy. It's just, I mean, it's hard to, they got, and this is, you know, something like modern gaming now where you can put something out and then, you know, I mean, just think back not all that long ago, downloadable content was not a thing. You know, like if you wanted an expansion, it was like a full-fledged, oh, well, here's, you know, Command and Conquer, whatever, expansion pack, and it was a full thing. And now with like their ability to just kind of update games, you know, whenever they get new content ready, when you have a fucked up launch like Destiny did, where there's all that bad press about it, I think it's harder to recover from that, you know, in kind of modern gaming style. So, I mean, it's, you know, everybody, I've heard, you know, all the things you guys are saying, I've heard elsewhere as well, where it's just like, yeah, this is a different game now. This is what it should have been. But, you know, I'm still just like, there's that tentative feeling still from all of that bad press that it got. So,
yeah. And they're for the $60 for the Taken King. My impression is there is just an ass load of game that you're getting.
Yeah, this is worth the $60. I would not have. I didn't buy it at launch because I was like, "Eh, this looks okay."
Yeah.
And then all the bad press was like, "This game is fucking broken."
Yeah.
And I was just like, "Nope, I'm good." And you know, for $60 and all the content you're getting in this one, I'd say, yeah, it's a much better game, and it's what Destiny should have been at launch.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a great game, but it's a pretty good shooter.
It is the game I can totally see myself playing when I've been playing Fallout for 3 hours and just need to decompress with something.
Right.
And I'm just like, you know what? I just want to shoot something in the face.
Oh yeah, like I said,
the next 45 minutes, and that's
I'll
Destiny.
Come home from work and just be like, oh, or I'll pick up and play for, you know, half an hour before I have to go to work on, you know, some days, or I'll come home from work and be like, oh, I want to play Destiny for a while, and, you know, 3 hours pass, I'm like, all right, I'm good.
Hmm. Yeah, I might have to pick it up. Right. Sounds interesting.
I'm sorry, Justin?
I said it's never going to come to PC, so I hate it.
Stupid Destiny.
Dumb.
Oh, console exclusive.
Casuals.
PC Master Race, motherfucker.
You been playing anything else, David?
No.
All right, John Dolan.
I played the Star Wars Battlefront thing, as we discussed, and that was, the more I think about it, disappointing.
Man, Jar Jar Binks kind of sucked, right, y'all?
Yeah. Like that kid was a terrible fucking actor, right? Like, there's good kid actors out there in the world, right? And he was really bad, right?
I mean, they had the recipe with Battlefront 2. What did they? Why didn't they just make that in Frostbite? Okay.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's it. Really, that's all they had to do. And it's they went somewhere different with it. So I hope that there's something else there, but I'm not gonna.
Oh, I did play a little bit of Rock Band 4.
Oh, cool.
I noticed some issues with it, namely that the on-disc content kind of sucks. Mm. Also, there were some hit detection issues with hitting a note and it actually registering. I've done a little bit of reading about that, and apparently they've actually been like, oh yeah, you can update your firmware for the controllers and that'll fix that. You
need to tune your plastic guitar.
Yeah. So I'm glad I didn't rush out and spend the, $300 to get the band in the box, but I'm still going to wait until they, release a patch or a couple of patches to, make sure that the, exportable content from the previous games is all available and they fix the controller issues. Cause I like Rock Band, but I'm like, I don't want to spend $300 on this thing if it's not going to function properly.
Yeah.
So carry on.
Battlefront sucks.
Yeah, it does.
I've been playing.
Oh, have we reached the Battlefront sucks?
No,
portion?
But God damn it. It was disappointing.
It kind of sucks.
I've been playing a shit ton of Mad Max, which I've talked about previously. How do you find it, David? I don't believe we've talked since you bought it.
I rented it from Gamefly for about 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks.
Okay.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it while I had it. I wouldn't have paid full price for it. I'll probably pick it up if I can get it for like $30 or maybe find a used copy or something.
It only gets better.
Yeah, I got pretty far. Like, I got through the jaws of the jaws, and then I was pretty far along at that point. I'd opened up. I think I'd completely maxed out like one of the first strongholds for myself. Okay. So
yep. So currently, and I posted it. If anybody wants to see some Mad Max gameplay, I put a video.
Yeah, I haven't watched that yet.
SDFGaming.com. And one of the first things I discuss in it is, I believe, across all versions, they released patch 3 and they patched in a bug that when you 100% a stronghold, when you do all the upgrades available there, your map disappears.
Wow. it was a fun game.
Wait, hold on.
Ah.
How do you make the map disappear?
So when you go to one of the strongholds, you have these upgrades that you can do where you you go find parts for
various things
like a water source in the stronghold, and you go out to different camps around the world and you find these parts and you bring them back, and then you have water available to you every time you come back to the stronghold. And then there's another one for you find a gunpowder guy who can, do like an armory for you, and then you get your shotgun shells and sniper rounds replenished when you come back.
Yeah. I think the best one is like Wrecking Crew, where they just pick up all the shit for you.
Yeah.
That was fucking great.
That's something I talk about in this video. Like, there's a way to play this game. Like, there's, and I've talked before about all the negative press that it got. And now that I'm deeper into it, I understand why those people thought that. And I think it's because they weren't playing the game the way that I'm playing it.
Right.
Because I'm right and they must be wrong, of course.
But well, clearly.
The way that you have to play it is you need to choose the upgrades first, that anything that has to do with you accumulating scrap quicker, which is basically the currency in the game, or having people generate scrap for you, anything along those lines, you have to do those first. Otherwise, you are just dragging your ass for longer.
Yep. That's correct.
And then you do things like make it so every time you come back to the stronghold, your canteen gets replenished because that's your life source and it replenishes your health, and ammo replenishment is even more important than that. Like, I did ammo before I did water because you can just drive around the world and find water sources.
Yeah.
The least useful thing I've found in the entire game is anything that has to do with like making your car more fuel efficient, because I just never fucking run out of gas in this game.
I noticed
yeah,
that.
The fuel efficiency thing is pretty dumb.
Yeah, like there's no use for it. Like that is the last fucking thing you should worry about upgrading in this game.
Yeah, aside from that first mission where they're like, hey, you're running out of gas, go get some gas.
I rarely had to actually fill up.
Every once in a while when I'm running out of a stronghold or a camp or something, and I've like been, because you can pick up jerry cans and ignite them and then throw them at guys, and then they explode and there's like, you know, body parts soup everywhere, which is fantastic.
Yep.
Every once in a while I'll be running out of a camp and there'll be a can. I'm like, oh, I'll grab one of those. I'll pick it up, refuel my car, and then I don't think about it again for that entire play session, you know?
Yeah.
But I think everything else I've said about this game previously still stands. It's absolutely fucking gorgeous.
Yep.
Probably the best looking game I think I've ever played. Like, I've been posting some screenshots on Steam of, like, so there's a screenshot, you know, function built into the game where you can move that, you can freeze the game. You hit click both joysticks down and it goes into a photo mode, and you can remove the UI and everything, and then just move the camera around and just take pictures. And I've been having tons of fun with it, just taking like wallpaper shots from my computer screen. It just looks fucking gorgeous. And it's actually kind of fun to just drive around in the game and find, you know, cool looking scenes like that.
Mm-hmm.
As just like a in-between missions thing to do. Like, I really like doing the convoy takedowns where
once you upgrade your car to be able to actually be a fighting machine, holy shit, that game gets so much easier.
Yeah, and I mean, these convoys are great because they're kind of on a set track, but the track is like miles and miles long, so it would take a long time before you would complete one lap chasing these cars. But there's like a lead truck that's got a big gas tank on it, and then a whole bunch of little buggies that are kind of, you know, running along the side of it trying to defend it. And you can kind of pick those guys off one at a time with your harpoon cable. Like, you can, as you upgrade your harpoon, you can use it to pull their wheels off.
Yep.
So instead of dealing with them, you just roll up on the back guy, and when he starts swerving to come at you, you hold down the left bumper on the controller, and it kind of goes into the slow motion mode, and you can use your harpoon to grab a tire and just yank it off, and they like kind of skid to a stop in the dirt. And if you do it right, you can actually use that maneuver to maybe slam them into one of their own buddies. Like, mm-hmm. you pull their right wheel off when they're right next to one of their other guys, and they'll plow into that guy and run him out of your way. And then you just mentioned the Thunder Poon,
which
is an upgrade for the harpoon that has explosives on it.
No, that's a separate weapon.
Oh, that's right. It's one of the, if you've seen the movie, it's one of those sticks, those explosive spears, basically.
Yeah.
And the dude pops up out of the back of your car and throws these explosives. And, you know, you can get these fantastic scenes where it, like, blows up under the car and it goes flipping up into the air and shit just goes flying everywhere.
And all of this sounds awesome, but it takes fucking forever to get all this stuff so you can actually do this.
Yeah, I have 19 hours into this game.
Yeah. So, yeah, because I tried taking on convoys early, and that's a terrible idea because you just can't do it.
Yep.
But it's like, once you've gone, like, because I spent a lot of time just running around the wasteland just like, oh, hey, I'm going to go collect stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because I needed scrap or I wanted to collect whatever. And holy shit, there's so much crap to collect in this fucking game.
It's ridiculous. Like, you kind of start off and then you, in this one area, and then you go to, like, the first stronghold area, and then you realize that stronghold area has, like, four other equally sized areas attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize there's, like, four or five more areas that are like that, a stronghold with four extra areas attached to it, and the game just starts getting massive. And
yep.
One of the coolest things about it is, so where you start, and I just kind of started really noticing the attention to detail on the map design that they did with this, because with the area that you start in, where your buddy is Chumbucket,
fixes
your car, that's the bottom of the ocean. Right.
Ah.
And if you drive kind of, you can actually drive, and I was fucking around with this, I took some screenshots, and you can drive kind of off the map, and I'm like, oh, well, I wonder how far off the map you can go, because it was just like this wasteland desert, and there was like a big propeller from a ship sitting out in the sand, and I could see off in the distance like this cloud kind of rising up constantly from the ground, and I'm like, well, I'm going to just drive out in the fucking desert and see what's out here. And as you start going, it says, you are now, warning, you are entering the big empty, and it's flashing on the screen in this giant font. And I'm like, oh, fuck it, I'm going to keep going and see how far you can go. And I drove down and found this enormous, looked like a giant volcanic crater, But as you're getting closer to it, the sky starts becoming like this more blaze orange and dark, dark red, like this menacing looking, like this is not natural sunlight kind of a look to it. And eventually I drove so far out that I just got like burned up or like irradiated or something, like maybe you were driving into like a nuclear, you know, fallout zone or something like that. So it did cut you off, but you were allowed to go in this one spot, at least way, way off map. And the visual change and how it looked was super cool. But then going the other way, from you're kind of at the bottom, you can actually find these little nooks and crannies kind of at the extreme south part of the map that have like there's seashells all over the ground. Mm-hmm. And there's like old dead coral kind of hanging off the rocks and seaweed and stuff. And then you start coming up and you'll start seeing things like buoys as you drive north.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Docks and oil rigs. And then you'll start seeing like, expansion bridges like the Golden Gate style mm-hmm. bridge that are all in disrepair. And then last night, after you go through the jaw, you enter that area that's like used to be land, and you come across the first building that's not like just some welded together thing that's like, you know, airplanes and, you know, giant oil tankers all welded together. It's like a gas station.
And it's, oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like the first building you see in the game. And, you know, I've been lollygagging around, but I bet it would take about 10, 12 hours to get to that if you were kind of mainlining the story, like before you saw the first kind of vestiges of civilization in this game.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of the further north you go, it's like you're kind of crawling out of the ocean and kind of heading up into, you know, land and the mountains and where civilization used to be. It's really, really interesting how they did that in the game. And it looks so cool. And then it's just super fun driving that fucking car. It's a riot, man.
I will say the only thing I hate about that game, and this was something that pissed me off every time it happened, the storms. Like, the first time a storm happens, you're like, this is fucking cool. And then every other time it's like, this is fucking stupid. Why is this taking 5 fucking minutes?
I really
hate you so much.
I do too. I thought that was cool. I thought, like,
yeah, the first time it's awesome.
I love it, man.
But every subsequent time, it's like I have to wait this thing out for 5 fucking minutes.
Do you know about the loot crates?
Trying to do something. Yes.
Storms. See, I love hunting down those loot crates.
Well, yeah, that's all well and good, except when I'm in the middle of a stronghold or something, and all of a sudden there's a goddamn storm that happens.
That's the first storm I encountered was when I was doing one of the first like stronghold assaults.
Yeah,
and it was great. It was just like, what is going on? Like, that level of unpredictability I thought was super fun and interesting.
It is cool that they spin up these storms. Like, you never know when one's coming. Like, I've had, you know, several hour long play sessions where it didn't happen, and then I had one the other night where I had two. I had one where like two of them were like 15 minutes apart. So it seems pretty random, but I don't know, something about the feel of it. Like, I always try to be out in my car. Like, if I'm doing a stronghold, I would agree that kind of sucks when you're trying to do a stronghold if a storm blows up, because it's just so much more fun when you're in your car. Cause you go out driving in that, and the big pieces of shrapnel flying around slamming into you. Like,
oh yeah,
I got out of my car. I think I caught it on video. Actually, I got out of my car and closed the door, and Chum Bucket said something like, yeah, don't be too long. Maybe we should find some shelter. And my character says something like, I got to go do something. And he turns around, and a big, huge piece of metal hits him right in the fucking head.
Yep.
And he just dropped dead.
There are some hilarious death animations in that game.
So great. Yeah. Go ahead, Bo.
No, I also really like just when you see those kind of sand twisters off in the distance.
Have you driven into one of them?
No, I have not.
Your car can get kind of picked up and flung around by them. If you're on foot, it'll actually like grab you and just toss you like hundreds of yards.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
It's really cool. I mean, I can't say enough good stuff about this game. There's repetitive parts to it. You got to go up in fucking air balloon towers to reveal.
Oh, God, those fucking balloons take forever.
Yeah, some of them, you know, but
all of them.
In the video that the way I justify the way this game is if you go into it looking for like a kind of a more game kind of a game, it's disappointing. But I think of it as the way I play it anyway is like it's a Mad Max simulator. Like, I want to be in that universe. Like, I'm really into kind of the sandbox aspect of
it. Yeah, it's a great sandbox game. I'm enjoying the shit out of it.
Yep.
I was playing it.
If you are into that, you know, genre at all, post-apocalyptic. I mean, it's really, I like the sparseness of it. Like, I like that, you know, I run out of fucking ammo sometimes, and if I go in somewhere, I just got to beat down people with my fists because I used all my shotgun shells and I haven't found any, you know.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like you learn quickly. Like the combat is all about the hand-to-hand stuff.
Yep.
And
which, it's not hard. It's not hard.
It's like, not, you but it's not as refined as it could be.
It could. There could be more depth to it, but at the same time.
Well, it's not even the depth. I mean, it's basically Arkham combat, which is fine.
Yeah.
But the timing on it is just not as tight as it needs to be in some cases.
You're right. The counter timing is not great.
I agree. Yeah. Like, it's not. The timing in Shadow of Mordor was better.
Yeah.
A bit, like, I agree with tighter being the right term for that because. Like, in this one, when you see the prompt for a parry, you just start jamming on that button, and you don't get a perfect parry, so you don't get, like, the bonus whatever that happens. Like, it's kind of vague what the motivations are to do well in the hand-to-hand combat. Like, for me, it's just, I'm just going to go straight up, like, parry, beat the shit out of this guy. Next, wait for the next guy to come in, parry, beat the shit out of this guy. Like, I'm just... No nonsense, fucking murder all these guys as fast as possible so that I can complete this and get back in my car and go do all the fun shit.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the comparison to Mordor is very apt because they both feel the same. In the, for me at least, they're games that I wasn't super attached to the license of, but managed to keep my attention. Although Mordor got real fucking boring real fucking quick.
Yeah, I mean, the story in that game is totally useless, as is one in Mad Max. It's just like, now this is like a Mad Max kind of a story, but it's like, I'm totally not here for that whatsoever.
Yeah, but there are enough references to, like, the Fury Road stuff. Like, you know, Immortan Joe is mentioned more than a handful of times, and the Bullet Farm and Gas Town and all that stuff. So,
you're in the universe. Like, it places you solidly in the universe, but I think what really does that is the sandbox environment.
Yeah.
The look of the game. The sound is top fucking notch in this game. I really like the music. It's almost kind of got like a horror soundtrack going on. Like, there's real, not like kind of like, you know, kind of jump orchestra hits or anything like that, but like, real eerie shit, like you'll kind of go around a corner and some of the cues are, you know, done really well. But mostly, like, the sound of the cars, the explosions. You would think that because you're in a fucking desert and the wind is always goddamn blowing that you'd get tired of that wind sound, but it sounds fucking great. Like, there's no loop to it. Like, they must be doing some kind of, you know...
Like mathematic, a dynamic.
Yeah, like a mathematical sound generation or something, because it's just fantastic.
I got to tell you, though, when I was playing yesterday, there was a glitch with my sound, so all car sounds were dropped.
Oh, weird.
It was just silent. It was like playing the movie Gravity, where it was like I could hear the wind and dialogue, but my car was like... whisper quiet as though I weren't driving a big diesel machine.
I've had a couple like audio bugs like that where you'll be inside and all of a sudden the wind will get really loud and then stop. Like, you won't hear it for a second. There's some weird audio bugs that have happened recently. Yeah, but... So the biggest problem, which I just touched on, was that map bug. If you get this game, apparently what triggers it is if you 100% complete all of the little building projects in one of these strongholds. And apparently if you don't do that, so I've been actively avoiding 100%ing things in the first stronghold, Jeet's stronghold.
Right.
Because there's some of them you just don't fucking need, like the gas one.
Like, yeah, not really. I think the only one that is really like the super beneficial ones are like the cleanup, anything that generates scrap, and then like the one that does the cartography for you.
Yep. Yep, finds all the locations on the map. And then, so the one I haven't done is the maggot farm, which is the food. Every time you come in, your health will get... But if you've got water, you don't need that anyway. So if you just don't upgrade the maggot farm, you can do everything else and probably not bump up into this bug.
Yeah.
And if you're, like, most of the complaints I've seen on the Steam forum about this particular bug are people who are like, yeah, I want 100% this game. I've got, you know, like 40 hours into it, and I need to, you know, get this thing done. And so people, there's fixes that people have said, well, if you lose your map... You go into this folder on Steam, you pull out this file, start a game up, start a new game, close the game down, put that file back in the folder, and then the map pops back up. Oh, but that fix prevents you from, like, 100%ing the game. for some reason. Like
LOL PC gaming.
Yeah, I know. Like you'll go to a loot thing and you'll get all the scrap from that loot location, and then the thing won't disappear from your map. You know, so it's like you can get the map back, but you will not be able to, like, it's like I'm not gonna fucking 100% this game. There's right, so much right. shit in it anyway. There's no way.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I'm also the only activity I wasn't crazy about was the mine clearing.
Yeah, that's kind of a,
because it's like, yeah. You know, they play up the dog in all the advertisements, and then it's like you barely use the dog ever.
Yeah, you get in your car and the dog sits in the back and you drive to a minefield and you drive around real slow while the dog barks out the side of the car that the mines are on. And when you get close enough to it, the mine appears out of the sand and you go over and you disarm it and you get some scrap and you get ammo from them too, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. And then the only reason to do that is because it will, you know, it'll lower the threat level in a specific area, which will give you a boost to whatever.
Yeah.
Which, fine.
Yeah, but some of your upgrades are tied to directly to the threat level in certain areas. So you have to get, like, the threat level in an area down to zero to be able to, you know, get the fourth upgrade for the Thunder Poon or whatever. You know?
Right. Yeah. It's just so, yeah, that was fucking aggravating. But otherwise, fun game. Yeah.
And so I have cleared one minefield and pretty much all of the initial area of Jeet's territory. And, you know, I've got one of his other areas is pretty low as well. And I've got, like, the total threat down to, like, one and almost to zero, mm-hmm. even without doing the minefields.
Nice. So
I think you can get around having to do some of the things you don't like if you do everything else. So.
Yeah, I think I did. I managed to get everything else down, but then it was like I had to do the minefield to 100% clear it, and then I was just like, fine, fucking, I'll do the minefield.
Yeah, so I think the biggest compliment I can pay the game is what I mentioned to Dolan earlier, which is immediately after playing Mad Max for a couple hours, I went and watched The Road Warrior.
This is so great. I got to see The Road Warrior now.
Yeah. I was like, this is so sweet. I really want to watch Road Warrior all of a sudden.
I mean, this is the most fun I've had playing a game in quite a while. I'm really having a good time with Mad Max.
Yeah. And it's gorgeous. I've been playing it on PC as well. You know, that $20, holy crap, for $20, what a great game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it may still be going on. I don't know. It was on Bundle Stars, and there wasn't a clock on it, so I just happened across it. So.
What else you been playing, Dolan?
Not much else. I played a little of that Besiege game again, the one where you build all the crazy contraptions and blow shit up. And one of the reasons I played that was I got a Steam controller.
Really?
Yes, I was bought on the original, the very first time they put them up for sale. So they're not supposed to be released until November 10th, but I got one already. And it's kind of interesting. It's got like a mouse trackpad where your right thumbstick would normally be. And then on the left side, there's a similar trackpad, but it's got a plus in it, like it's a D style pad. Got a nice weight to it. It's got extra extra buttons on the bottom that you would, you know, kind of grip with your ring finger, pinky, kind of around that region. So the coolest thing about it is when you go into Steam and you fire it up and you turn on the controller and it detects it and it says, oh, you know, do you want to configure this or whatever? It's got like this full on, like, built into Steam controller configuration utility that you can use, and you can reassign buttons to whatever you want, like based on whatever game you want to play. Users can upload preset, like if somebody's gone into, like, they're going to play Mad Max and they say this is the controller setup you want to use with the Steam controller, you can just like download their controller setup and use it immediately. And then you can tweak it if you want and then save it out as your own and post it up there. Go ahead.
Well, so this is supposed to be the couch replacement for
mouse,
like an RTS or something. Do you find that does it do that?
So I tried it on a couple of things. I tried it on like a first person shooter, which you would think you would want, you know, like a mouse replacement for, and it works okay for that. I was kind of disappointed. I think, like, I would just prefer, I play with controller over mouse and keyboard any chance I get, just because I'm, you know, it's a little more laid back, a little more casual. And I've just kind of gotten used to it. Like, I'm not trying to be competitive in an FPS, so I don't really care that the mouse is, you know, you know, that much better unless you're playing Star Wars Battlefront and the controller doesn't fucking work. But I don't think this is a replacement for mouse if you're serious about playing FPS. Like I said, I'd rather just use the right stick on an Xbox controller to play an FPS at this point. Where I think this is more beneficial is for games that you just can't use a normal controller with, like the Besiege game that I was talking about, because that's all about using your mouse to point to a menu to say, okay, I want to add wheels onto this contraption, and you would click on the menu at the bottom that's wheels, and then you would go up to your contraption and you'd click where you want to put the wheels, and you can, you know, spin the camera around in 3D as you're building your thing. Or I didn't try it, but like a game like XCOM, where you're going to, you know, kind of point to where you want your guy to run to. I think it's going to be way more beneficial in that way. It worked pretty good for Besiege. And I didn't tune it at all. I just kind of did like the default settings. And that game doesn't actually have controller support. So there's not like a preset, like Steam, when you start up Big Picture, your library pops up and all the games that have controller support that are like ready to go have a little icon in the corner. And then if there's not one, you can still go in the game and see if some other user has uploaded something. And I downloaded one for Besiege that somebody had just said, yeah, this will probably work. Try this out. And if not, send me a message at this address. And he like had his Steam ID on there, and he says, I'll update it and get one that works on here real quick. And I think it may have been somebody associated with the developers was doing that. But yeah, it worked pretty good. Like, you can actually, if you turn on the controller and you're just sitting on the desktop in Windows, you can just move your mouse cursor around with the little pad and pull the trigger, and that's like right mouse click. So you can like navigate Windows with your Steam controller.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It's basically like the thumb pad. It's just flat and it's smooth, and it's like a trackpad on a laptop, but it's just like a big circle. And I don't know. It works pretty good. It feels, you know, it's kind of heavy. It's got nice grips on it. It's bigger. It's like bigger than a modern Xbox controller. It actually kind of reminds me more of the original Xbox controller, only not nearly as big. That thing is a monster.
Yeah, no, you could feasibly murder someone with the original Xbox controller. Yeah.
So the one thing I don't like about it is, so the two touch pads are where left thumbstick, like on an Xbox controller, even on PS4 controller, I think they're pretty similar. So your left thumbstick on an Xbox controller is kind of up in the top left, and then the right thumbstick is kind of down on the right middle, and then, you know, on your top is your four buttons, like your Y, X, A, B, you know, yellow, blue, red, green. So they moved it on the Steam controller. The two track pads are in the top right and the top left corner. You've got a thumbstick that's on the middle bottom left, and then the four buttons that would normally be top right are now kind of bottom middle right next to the thumbstick. So my biggest problem with the controller is you've got your thumb on the trackpad in the top right, and you want to hit Y, X, A, B for something. And you can hit Y just fine, you can hit B just fine, but when you got to hit A, you kind of have to lift your palm off of the controller a little bit because the buttons are kind of low on the controller, and I don't quite like the placement of them.
Well, you also have the dainty hands of a young lady.
I got giant man hands. What are you talking about? And the other problem is the buttons are smaller than they are on an Xbox controller by like a noticeable amount, and due to that, they're also kind of closer together, so you kind of feel like you got, like if you got a big thumb or something, you can touch all four buttons really easily. Like, I can completely cover all four buttons with my thumb.
Ugh, I'm not crazy about that.
Yeah, it's a little tight, and then I also don't like that, you know, okay, so I'm using this trackpad to do stuff. Like, if I'm trying to play a first-person shooter with this, I've got my thumb up on the trackpad, and I'm, you know, emulating mouse look with that. And then when I need to use one of those buttons, which is pretty often, and like reload, whatever, crouch, things like that, you're taking your finger off your look button, which you would normally have to do with a stick. But it just feels, I don't know, maybe it's just something I got to get used to. But, you know, overall, it's kind of a cool device. I'll ring back in on it at a later date when I've had some more time to fuck around with it. But it seems like something that benefits from configuration. And it's going to be, like I said, mostly useful for games where you just can't use a controller, because who wants to play an RTS with a right thumbstick to, like, select shit? That's impossible. So, yeah, it's cool. I also got a Steam Link, which is the a little box you plug into your TV, and it just basically turns any TV into a receiver for Steam Big Picture. And that thing works, unless you're trying to do it on wireless.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of garbage.
Yeah.
The coolest thing about the Steam Link, so it's got a power plug on it. You plug it into the wall. It's got an Ethernet cable jack on it. So when you wire it up, you know, you're getting the best possible throughput on it, and it works pretty good as far as streaming. It's got a wireless, so you can do that, which just was kind of garbage. But then it's also got three USB ports on it. And so the way the Steam controller works is it's just got a little teeny USB dongle that you plug in, and then that's how it's connecting to your computer. You can just plug that USB dongle into the Steam Link, and your controller is now bound to the game through the Steam Link, which I thought was pretty cool. So I haven't played a ton with that because I had to get out my 100-foot-long Ethernet cable and plug it into my router.
For it to work, yeah.
For it to work, which is like kind of defeating the fucking purpose. But luckily my house is wired with Ethernet behind the walls. I just have not sorted out the mess that the previous owner, who was obviously not a computer guy, turned it into. His patch panel in the basement was all unplugged when I moved in, and upon seeing it, the first thing I said was, So I have to get a network exploring tool so I can map out which fucking wire goes to what room. And then I'll just be able to have normal length patch cord going to that Steam Link, and I can play it in the living room whenever I want. Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, you can pick up a network tester these days for not much. You gotta get somebody on the other end of it.
Well, they got those ones where you put the Terminator on one end, and then you can get like six Terminators, and you plug them into all the jacks in your house and all the different rooms, and then you go down to your patch panel in the basement, and you one by one plug the wire into your tester, and it tells you which number wire you, like if you put the number one Terminator up there, it'll flash a number one on the screen when you plug into that wire, and if you put a number two Terminator on another one, it'll say that, so you can kind of tell quicker. That's like, you know, rich man technology there.
Sure. But not for the plebes.
No. But yeah, that's it. I played just a little bit of Broforce because they've officially released it. Mm-hmm. And it's still got a couple of the kind of laggy network stuff in it, but it seems better than the last time I played it, so I can only assume they're going to keep working on it. But that game's fucking awesome. So.
Sure.
Yeah. And that's about it.
All right, I would only touch on Rock Band 4 a little bit more, which I also played, and that is more Rock Band.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, depending on how you feel about Rock Band, it is more of that, and I found it very enjoyable.
Yeah, and is it true that the any old DLC you bought for that is compatible? Is that
right? It's not everything. I mean,
I think it's the. I want to say that the like the marketplace stuff that people made you can't get, and then like there's some specific songs that they just don't have the rights to anymore.
Yeah, like there were albums that I purchased that I only have like about half the songs from that album.
Right, and there was some weird thing about how you had to download the stuff was weird. Like you couldn't just get packs; you had to go in and get like individual tracks and shit.
Yeah, I didn't think that was that big a deal because basically you can just run through the list, and if you see the word "purchased" on the song, then you download it. You know, that wasn't a big pain. And you know, other than it would be great, sure, if you just hit a button and anything you had ever bought, it just automatically downloaded.
Yeah.
But I think eventually there is going to be, you know, like the stuff from as the licensing is worked out for some of that stuff, I think more of that will be available.
Yeah.
But you know, I think
they said you can, if you exported your 1 and 2. That they're working on making it so you can actually get those into this game as well.
Yeah.
And but it's just not available yet.
Right. And, you know, I'm obviously an early adopter on this, but it was kind of interesting because this was not a total spur of the moment purchase, but it was sort of a, like, hey, we've been moving, let's grab Rock Band and just have a good time tonight sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it was kind of tough to pick up the game for the Xbox One. And the report I got from the good fellow at Best Buy was that they were able, like, PS4 was in stock, but they were having a hard time keeping the Xbox One bundles in, because that's just where everyone had
all their content. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, but, you know, I haven't had the problems that, David was reporting with the controllers. Like, I felt like anytime I missed a note, that was me, not the controller. And then, of course, you know, when my lady friend was playing guitar, you know, she's just not very good. So
it's okay, bro. You can say she sucks. She's terrible. Like most. She's terrible. It's okay.
God bless her. She tries. I'm pleased as punch. She would entertain the notion of trying in the first place. So, instead of just being like, no, I am not doing that. That is a plastic toy and I will not hold it. So.
Not a lot of action figures in the house.
You know, just my Quint from Jaws action figure is the only one I've got. Yeah, right?
Nice choice.
Yeah, so. But yeah, I think, you know, I don't have the problem that David does with the songs on the disc. There's plenty on there that I like just fine. Mm. You know, some of it, obviously, it's just a taste thing. It's like, there are some songs that I think are really, really fun on there. And then there are some songs I've never heard of because I'm an old man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, and that was my thing. Like, I played it at work because we have it on display. I was just sort of like the on disc stuff. Like, there wasn't a great selection of stuff that I either knew or like the stuff that I did know. I was like, I don't really want to play that. So like that's why I'm really waiting for them to kind of work out all the bugs and then be able to be like, oh yeah, hey, you can, you know, if you exported your Rock Band 1 and 2 data, you can totally get that now because I want those fucking track packs back plus whatever all DLC I bought. Because I bought a ton of that fucking DLC.
Yeah, of everything that I purchased, I probably had about, 40-ish songs that downloaded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so along with the on-disc stuff, you know, I've got a pretty good library going on there. And like I said, it's more Rock Band, and I've always enjoyed the Rock Band series, and this game is more of that. I've been using the new guitar controller, which is fine. So here's the one thing that I don't dislike it. It's just a feature that I don't feel like I need to use.
Mm-hmm.
Is the freestyle stuff.
Yeah.
Which it's cool because basically it just presents you with a range of notes of like, hey, if you play something in this kind of range, that's what we're looking for in this solo. But I kind of enjoy just playing the actual solo.
Why wouldn't you just want to hear the solo?
Well, there's an element of creativity that goes like, you know, instead of playing the traditional solo you've heard a million times before, you can do some, like, even me jerking around with it did some stuff that, and I have no musical talent whatsoever. I think it's important to say that up front. But that being said, when I was doing some of the freestyle solo stuff, there were a couple of times where I would get a string of notes together that was like, oh, this sounds like a real guitar solo. And so the technology of that is really cool.
Yeah.
But if I'm playing Pearl Jam's Black, half of that song is guitar solo, and that's what I want to play, not the freestyle thing.
Yeah.
But you can turn that off dynamically. Like, in the middle of the song, you can turn off the freestyle mode. So, it's, you know, it's well put together. I know people have complained about the lack of online play, or certain varieties of online play with Rock Band 4, but I never really played online that much anyway.
Yeah online was sort of, online was okay, but it wasn't ever a super important thing to me. So when I was like, oh, there's no online play, it's fine.
Yeah, I kind of didn't care because it's like, this is the game that, you know, you have a couple of buddies over and play.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, drink some beer and play Rock Band. And, you know, I will say that during the playing of This Charming Gentleman by The Smiths, gave me a wildly new appreciation of Johnny Marr's guitar, because that hurt my hand.
Yeah, and Guitar Hero Live is out, I think, next week, or this week, rather, something like that. It's out soon, so I'm looking forward to trying that one out. Hopefully the reviews are good for it, because I hate for it to be bad, but...
You know. I'm curious about that with all the FMV stuff.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm thinking. And like, you know, the whole, like, the Rock Band TV or Guitar Hero TV or whatever the fuck it is aspect of it. It's like, oh, here, just play over this music video. That seems like it might be kind of interesting, but I don't know. I kind of dropped off a Rock or a Guitar Hero after, like, the second one. And pretty much exclusively went to Rock Band because I just thought it was a much more entertaining game. But yeah.
I'm curious as well. I'm glad to see that those kind of music based rhythm games are back because I've always had a good time with it. It's a good party game.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And that's really all I played. You know, we touched on Destiny and Mad Max, and those are really the three games I've played. Unless we need to dive into the world of Marvel Puzzle Quest some more, get into the deep dark underbelly of just how awesome I am at that.
sad, you know. I'm sad and also happy at the same time to say I cannot play that on Android. So,
yeah, it's not a big deal, and I don't want you to treat me differently, but I'm pretty much the best player.
You're like kind of the biggest, like the king.
It's no WWE supercard.
But is anything really, though?
You know, but it does have elements of WWE supercard in it.
I was going to say that when you guys were talking about Destiny. Feeding guns to guns.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
That's a kind of, you know, munition-based cannibalism that I can really get behind.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break here and then and come back with news and letters, or not letters, posts, questions.
We got some post. We received post in the mail.
We have the P.O. box. Has received numerous questions, so...
Oh, okay, so really quickly, once more before we finish up with Destiny, I'm really amused that my hunter looks like Jared Leto.
Yeah, I kind of went the emo route with my dude as well.
It's kind of wonderful.
Yeah.
Like, he's got the dumb kind of hair and the...
This got like way too gay for me all of a sudden.
My guy, when he's running around in the tower area, like the social area... He could break into a Cure song any second.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, my first character just looks like a, you know, sort of like you're basically like a... It's like she stepped out of, like, a cyberpunk fucking thing, which is fine. But then, like, I was, like, looking at, like, trying to make a dude. I was like, God, like, the dude options all look kind of shitty. But I was like, oh, I'm just going to make Jared Leto, and that'll be entertaining.
Don't they have a helmet on the whole time or something?
Not in
the tower. Not in the tower.
Okay, it's a fucking MMO, you're right.
Yep.
So everybody's got to see what I look like.
Mm-hmm.
What dance moves.
So, yeah. All right, so when I was playing around with it the first time, when I, like, got to this social area and, like, you know, seeing what the D-pad did, and it like, yeah, and it pops up like Barilla SDF does a dance, and then right below that it was like, you know, No Scope 420 does a dance with Barilla,
and I was like, you're like, oh, no shit. I don't want this.
Yeah, it was a very Purple Onion scenario.
Stop. Cancel.
So now I just, you know, it's message after message from
No, you won't leave you alone now?
Right. You know, when we danced together, I thought it meant something.
I just want you to know how much I care about you, and if you don't answer me, I will fucking kill you and your family.
Right. I know where you live, Barilla. Let's dance some more. The dance of death.
I really like your sweater you were wearing today.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God. I gotta get Destiny now. It's being digitally stalked by, you know, No Scope 360 full reels 420 sounds great.
It's pretty good.
I'll see you tomorrow.
I noticed that you don't take anything in your coffee. I admire that. All right, we'll be right back with news. Human John Dolan.
Yes.
Tell me of these video games.
I'm going to start off with this one because it's fun. Somebody found an unreleased South Park game on a debug Xbox.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it looks fucking terrible.
Like every South Park game that came out in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, it's got a real, like you can look it up on, I found it on Eurogamer.net specifically. Where does it say? Somebody originally discovered by Nintendo Age forum mod back in August. The build has now been given a thorough investigation by happyconsolegamer.com. But it looks like, what was that Simpsons game? Hit and Run.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I actually enjoyed that game, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it looks like that's what they were going for. Like, I'd heard, you know, numerous times that South Park Studios had, like, started making games that just never got finished because they're like, no, this is not what we want. And then, as we all know, the Stick of Truth came out, and that was the perfect application of South Park.
And the sequel was on the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Fractured Butthole.
The Fractured Butthole.
Yes. This is a great punny title that I very much enjoy.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's kind of interesting that somebody just found this laying around on an old console. I thought that was kind of cool. Along those lines, I'm going to jump down my list here too. This is a story I heard about a while ago and was kind of interested to see it pop back up again. Shadow of the Colossus. There's long been investigation into that game by people who are kind of obsessed with it, I think I would say, thinking that there are secrets, hidden secrets that are yet to be discovered in that game. Namely, people for a very long time were thinking there was some hidden Colossus in that game that nobody had ever found yet.
So people who have no lives.
Basically, yeah. Because apparently they spent a lot of time looking for stuff in this game. And eventually resorted to hacks and stuff. So kind of along the lines of finding South Park on a debug console, they're still trying to find secrets in this game. Like, they're just, I mean, and I agree that was a great fucking game, but I'm not going to spend hours like trying to clip through walls and shit trying to find something that's not there. What they did find, some of which was kind of interesting, like there was obviously more game there at one point. Mm-hmm. Because they find these lands that you cannot get to unless you do some, you know, really tricky maneuvers. Like, people found out like some physics tricks you could do in the game, like launching yourself off your horse, and you could go flying up cliffs, and you would get to areas that were huge and expansive and had like proper geometry so that you like didn't fall through the world. Like, they had collision detection programmed in, and right, like ponds with fish that were interactive to your presence swimming around in them. So obviously it was planned to be a bigger game, and there was kind of really interesting that like these unfinished areas were just left in the game. I think that's kind of cool. Like, there's remnants of ideas that never quite, you know, were fully realized, still floating around. But not to the level where you spend days and days trying to find things that aren't there.
Yeah, but, you know,
it's a really cool game. It's a really cool game. I get it. I understand. So the good part of this story is, I just found a story today. Let's see. I don't know what the developer's name is, but they're putting a game out called Pray for the Gods, and it's like kind of a straight-up Shadow of the Colossus clone looking game. Let's see. I don't see the developer's name here, but Pray for the Gods. And they have a really nice looking trailer that shows, you know, a guy that looks like the dude from Shadow of the Colossus shooting his bow and arrow at this big giant thing. And it's like a snow beast, stone snow beast. And he, at one point, he's like straight up just crawling on the fur on this thing, just like Shadow of the Colossus. Like, they're basically just making a new version of that game, which I'm totally in favor of because I love that game.
I mean, since it's not going to be a PC game ever, probably.
Yeah.
You know, why not have a PC alternative to it? And yeah, I mean, I don't know, but even like there was something really special about those, you know, because the whole game is boss battles, obviously.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, unless that's tuned right. That could just be like, a reminder of how good Shadow of the Colossus is.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
As opposed to...
Yep. Yeah, because that game was great. It was fan-fucking-tastic. And anything less than that's just going to be like, oh, yeah, this isn't quite Shadow of the Colossus. No Matter is the name of the developer for that one, so something to keep an eye on. Along the lines of my Steam controller review, Steam hardware is not Mac compatible yet. The new controller and the Steam Link, totally not compatible with your Mac. And one of the comments I read on this story said, well, that's not really much of a problem for the 95% of the people who use Steam and are using a PC. So go ahead.
I ran into something like this earlier this week when I was trying to help my mom get a one of those web forms, like an Adobe Acrobat web form filled out.
Yeah.
And she has a Mac, and when she filled it out, the font doesn't read right, so that even though the form was filled out, you had to click on the field to actually see the content of the field.
Yeah.
And she asked me, like, well, why don't they fix this? I was like, because it's such a small percentage of people that are having, A, are Mac users, and B, are using Adobe Acrobat
forms
on a Mac. And as a result, it led to me having to fill out the form for her. You know, I was like, ugh, you know, there's a program that will do this, but we could never get it downloaded because... you know, she's 60 years old.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was like, and just send it to me and I'll fix it.
Yeah. So Valve kind of has a notorious, you know, not necessarily bad customer service, but I would classify it more as poor, as in they are not super responsive sometimes. But they have offered everyone who has ordered one of these controllers, and you know, they say there's a fix, they're in the works for this, but as a sorry, they're giving every one of these people the Valve bundle, which consists of every game that Valve has ever made for free. So normally
awesome.
That's not bad. You know, I mean, you're talking Left 4 Dead, you're talking the Half-Life series, you're talking some pretty decent games. The only problem is I already own all those games, but I also don't have a Mac, so I'm not real worried about it.
Right. So. Here's an entire library of games that you could play with any controller that is not ours.
Yes. Exactly. So, but it's something. I mean, it's like, you know, other places, they're just like, yeah, just fucking wait until we fix it. But, you know, at least, I mean, that's no skin off Valve's nose. You know, those exact numbers I was just talking about. So, all right, give all the people who are actually using Steam that are using it via a Mac your games for free, that if they haven't bought already when it was on
all
sale.
Five of them.
Yeah, I mean, they're not losing any money on that deal. Just making good, I guess. Anybody see the new trailer for the new Far Cry game? Far Cry Primal? Yes.
Oh, no, I haven't seen the trailer. I know it exists, but...
It looks pretty interesting. You are basically in the Stone Age, and you're throwing spears and shooting arrows and shit at mammoths and saber-toothed tigers. And
but are there towers?
I don't. I'm going to assume you climb a tree,
right, or a mountain, or something. Right. Yeah,
climb on the back of this mammoth and look.
There has to be something really tall for me to climb on, so I can unlock more of the fucking map.
Yeah,
because Ubisoft.
Yeah, I know.
But feels like a reskin and a cash grab.
Yeah. Like, it's, I heard a good comparison where it was like Black Flag being somebody taking the good parts of the prior Assassin's Creed game and making them into their own game. This feels like taking some of the stealth work they did in Far Cry 3 and 4 and saying, oh, well, let's just do that as a game. So,
I think that could be actually pretty interesting. If you eliminate kind of the bonehead stories that are in, you know, Far Cry 3 and 4, which are, you know, they're serviceable and all, but if it's just a more pure experience of, you know, you need to, bring your tribe into, not necessarily like a civilization style, like we need to get to the Iron Age or some shit, but if it's just like, you know, that kind of life and death struggle to survive, that could be kind of interesting, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of fun playing Far Cry 4 specifically, just because it's a fun, it's got like that Just Cause feel to it where it's just kind of a mayhem simulator, you know, just go around and get into some shit and crazy, awesome, fun stuff happens. So, you know, if they could pull it off, like, I'm assuming the game's not going to have any kind of projectile weapons in it besides bow and arrow.
Well, so a basically, sling, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, you're making a Far Cry game with no guns in it is what you're saying here. So I'm interested to see how they do that, first of all. And then if it looks good, I'll probably try it out. But it's like, okay, Far Cry, like the guns are fun in that game and they sound great and they handle really well. And it should be interesting to see what they come up with. So I'm not sure how I feel about this. War Games is coming back as an interactive video experience, and I don't know what that means.
Like, Space Ace?
Well, the line in the article here says, this means that the film-game hybrid will offer the chance for viewers to become users, as they're given the choices that will impact and affect the movie's narrative. Which sounds kind of cool. Like, I would totally like
David
Lightman.
So
it's a VCR
Lightman. Game?
I don't know. It's really a vague story. I found it on Polygon. It was published on October 13th. The article is entitled War Games Coming Back as Interactive Video Experience. I don't know what to make of that. It's like somebody knows I like War Games and they're playing upon me in kind of a predatory way.
Is notorious murderer Matthew Broderick going to do any work?
You know, I heard he apologized to the family.
Well, that's important. Sorry about running down your loved one.
You make one mistake, and Bo never forgives you. Jeez, tell you, man.
You murder one person.
One person.
There's like 5 billion people on the planet. You kill one, and you've got a stigma for life.
Yeah,
so, I mean, War Games pops up on my news feed. I always read that story, but I don't know what to make of that. Like, I mean, are they going all her story with this, or is it going to be... Like David said, it's like a VCR. Now pause the game so that you can, you know, go to your card thing and read about what happens next. I mean, I don't know what they're doing with this.
You know, if it gives you the option at some point just to send the Whopper into a frenzy to launch the nukes, then, I'll never get past that part of the game.
I can do that right now on Steam in a little game called DEFCON. Looks just like War Games.
Really? Okay.
Next time you see DEFCON on a Steam sale for $2.99, pick it up and then go in and do a number of players 0 and watch it play itself. It's awesome. Just little nuclear bomb lines going from continent to continent.
And, you know, the only way to win sometimes, John, is not to play.
That's right. That's right. I'm not going to argue with you. That's correct.
Right. According to the film War Games, that is accurate. Yes.
The only winning move, yes. Yes.
Tick-tack. Well, we've learned that is the way to win Supercard.
That is true.
I mean, it's so the way to play Supercard. That's practically copyright infringement on the film War Games.
I think that's in the courts now.
Yeah. Wait a minute. You made a game that we're not supposed to play? Copyright infringement. War Games did that first.
Oh, man, WWE Supercars.
And you know what's worse is WWE 2K16 is out later this month, and I'm so tempted to pick it up because they keep promising new things that sound awesome, but it's like, you guys have been fucking me the last couple of years now.
You're talking about playing a wrestling game.
Yeah, I know.
It's worth it. Where your problems begin and end.
Yeah.
I've come dangerously close to downloading WWE Supercard again. just because I've heard, like, they've changed so much about that game, and I'm curious, like, I wonder what that looks like. But I know the dark place that leads.
Allison Road, the PT replacement horror game, canceled their Kickstarter because Team 17, the studio Team 17, famous developers of the Worms games, decided they wanted to do something other than Worms, apparently, and they are going to be putting out Allison Road. So it's like a real thing that's going to happen, apparently, because Team 17 has been around for like 25 years, and they do actually deliver games, so that should be interesting.
And in this version of Allison Road, you... using a series of ridiculous weapons.
Exploding bananas and, yes. And sheep. Yeah.
Fire sheep at ghosts on a destructible platform.
But hyper-realistic sheep.
Yes.
Yeah, like yes. Photorealistic sheep that you shoot. Nah, I don't know.
And they will scream.
So I thought this was interesting from the standpoint that it's... know if I've heard of somebody like starting a Kickstarter campaign and then getting funding elsewhere and then just saying, yeah, fuck this Kickstarter thing, we're just going to go this way.
Well, and they said that like the backers who had already contributed were going to make good
somehow. Yeah, like they didn't say what that was, but it's like, okay. you're going to give them a copy of the game, everyone? Assuming.
The entire Worms catalog is theirs for the taking.
You only need one Worms game, man.
Yeah, because the crossover between fans of the Worms games and the PT demo, you know, it's pretty much the same circle.
It's a Venn diagram with one circle on it.
Yeah. You know, I love Worms a lot. You know what else I like?
PT.
Yeah.
Give me some more of that shit.
Which I think is ironic because PT, like, Del Toro and Miyamoto, if I remember this correctly, said that demo isn't necessarily reflective of what Silent Hills would have been.
Right. Yeah, it was Kojima, not Miyamoto.
Oh, shit, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If it had been Miyamoto, it would have been even weirder.
It would have been a horror platformer.
Have you guys seen all the stories? Del Toro, I saw him in a bunch of articles talking about how canceling that game was fucking stupid. He's just kind of coming out and saying, I don't know what the hell they were thinking. That was really a dumb decision. So, apparently he was pretty attached to that thing. So,
well, he's been trying to get a horror game made.
Yeah.
Forever. Like, Unsane was the first one he tried to get off the ground, and that never went anywhere or got canceled, and, you know, this seemed, between him and Miyamoto, I'm doing that on purpose now, that it would have been, you know, really his big time. He's clearly somebody who likes video games and wanted to explore that space, and... has such a distinct visual style. Like, I saw Crimson Peak over the weekend.
Oh, yeah, how was that?
I have my complaints about that movie, but there is no arguing that it is visually sumptuous.
Okay.
It's really something to behold. I definitely recommend it, especially if you've ever read a Henry James story in your life. It is a Henry James story on film. Huh. But... Del Toro and Kojima and I can't think of the manga artist now.
I think it was Junji Ito.
Yeah, that's right. All that sounded really intriguing, and I like the fact like Del Toro is notorious for just kind of speaking his mind. He has a real good not give a shit quality to him.
Yep.
And I like the fact that he's just like, this is what went down, and it was dumb. But obviously, you know, we've talked about it before. Konami is not interested in making video games that aren't pachinko.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, well. Hey, Batman Returns Arkham Knight will be out in October, the end of October, on PC, 4 months after it was originally released.
Never going to buy it.
That is the craziest thing. I mean, we talked about it when it happened, obviously, but holy crap.
Here we are 4 months later, and it's finally coming back out.
That is insane.
That's bad. That's bad. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else to say other than nobody's going to buy that.
Yeah. I mean, that window of opportunity has certainly passed. Like, I don't think it's a bad game at all. In fact, I think it's actually quite good. But, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, talk about just a major fuck-up. It's just... I don't know what to say about it. It's just bad. Along those lines, anybody out there who plays video games might notice nobody mentioned Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5 today.
With good reason.
Oh my god, the shitstorm that came down around that game after it finally got released. Like, I think we talked about it briefly, where it's just like, this game does not look good, and apparently people who were just like, "Oh, it can't be that bad," and they were kind of even still semi-excited about it, like, just went south on it so fast. Like, that game is apparently just a fucked up disaster.
I've seen some of the gameplay, and the fact that it took about, I don't know, 45 seconds for someone to get hung up in the geometry of the level.
Yeah, like, falling through the world and getting, like, stuck in the floor and bad. I mean, it looks really bad, and they're charging $60 for that game.
Yeah, that's an embarrassment.
Like, I've heard numerous reviewers that I find pretty reputable are just like, this is a bad $20 game. Like, this is just a bad fucking game that should not have been released ever. And you want to kind of feel bad for Tony Hawk because he seems like a decent dude. And from what I understand, this was the last game he was contractually obligated with Activision to produce. And
it seems kind of why, like, this is such a piece of shit that they're just like, ah, we just want to hang on to the license.
Well, and I mean, have you seen him out promoting it anywhere? Like, nope. It used to be a big, like, Tony Hawk used to be fucking everywhere when one of these games were coming out. Like, you know, TV commercials, just everywhere. And this one, it's like, he's nowhere to be seen, and you know, it's just like, he did what he was obligated to do, and the developers did what they're obligated to do, and then they handed it to Activision and said, here, it's your fucking problem, now here's your game. And then they just put it out for $60. I mean, that's fucked up.
Well, they handed it off to the team who did the HD collection, which was kind of fucking terrible for $20. So it's like, when they're like, oh yeah, they're going to be doing it, I was like, ooh.
Nope, thanks. Pass.
Yeah, about that. I mean,
that's just a giant fucking stink bomb, apparently, so steer the hell clear of that game. Like, even people who are going at it for, like, straight up nostalgia's sake are just like, no, this is fucking terrible, so...
So, yeah, I've heard a couple of conspiracy theories about why this game is as bad as it is. Is it just, hey, the contract is about up, we're gonna shove whatever game that we can make in 6-8 months?
Yeah, how cheaply can we make a Tony Hawk?
I think that's kind of part of it. I like, I've heard versions of that where it's just like, here's how much money we had, here's how much time we have, let's use all of this money in this time, and then we're done. So. I don't know. I mean, I'm talking about it, and I've never played it. I've watched some live streams of it. I've, you know, watched a lot of quick looks and a few reviews, and every single one of them, like, universally, are just like, this game is fucked.
Yeah, so. That's all I've heard about it, so.
Yeah.
That's just crazy to me that, I mean.
Yeah. You had a chance to make money with it. Like, I mean, think about, you guys are talking about Rock Band. It's been years since that game was out, and you're both really excited about playing it again. And this game had a huge user base. Like, this was the fucking game to play for years. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. And they could have done something with it, and, like...
Yeah, because there's no other skateboarding games out right now. It's not like we have Skate on, you know, available to us anymore.
It's hitting, like, it couldn't have obviously been released now, because look at the mess that it is, but there's always that summer lull, and what's a fucking great game for summer? Put out a fucking skateboarding game. Everybody's thinking about skateboarding. People are actually doing it outside, and then when they're done for the night, they come in and, you know, smoke a bowl and drink a bunch of 40s and play skateboarding games. And they just totally fucked it up. It's just like some of the business decisions around some of these games lately, you're just like, what are you thinking about?
Well, it's, you know, the commoditization of video games, where nobody really cares about the playability of the game. I mean, it's the same thing happened with movies, right? Which is, we don't care about the quality of the movie.
Yeah, put it out.
We care about if there is a cross section of people that using this algorithm we determine would see this movie or play this game or buy the game more appropriately.
Yeah.
And we don't care about the quality because we're not going to make another one. We just want to get our money back and then some on the game we've made. And if it builds up a lot of bad blood, you're not going to blame EA for it or Activision. So, I mean, nobody's going to not buy the next game Activision published.
Yeah.
Because the Tony Hawk game was a hot mess.
Yeah.
They're just, you know, they're not going to buy another Tony Hawk game, which there wasn't going to be
Activision. Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do they care? You know, and that's very cynical, but that's got to be at least a component of the thinking. I mean, you know, like, you know, it came out that, you know, Warner Brothers knew that there were problems with the PC port of the Batman game.
Yeah, and they knew it was broken. They knew the shit wasn't going to work, and they put it out anyway.
Right,
yeah.
And they put it out because there was no checks and balances, really. I mean, that, you know, was... I'm sure that decision was made prior to the Steam refund thing.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that decision would not have been made had Steam refunds been in place at that time. But
I mean, it's almost like there needed to be a fuck up of this magnitude that made Steam refunds, like, you know, on people's radar. Like, that was like the perfect storm of here's a fucking broken game, here's a refund policy that didn't exist previously at the exact same time that this broken ass game is coming out that's going to be popular, and then it was just like total shitstorm of returns. Like, it almost seems like that needed to happen to a game before the return policy would be as big a deal as it was. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah,
it totally does.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so, I don't know. So,
but like we're saying, though, with Activision, they just don't care.
Yeah. You know, about they're fucking Activision. They got billions of goddamn dollars.
Right. I mean, you know, they certainly have plenty of other franchises that are, you know, that's where their bread's buttered, but I don't know. I'm not a big Tony Hawk fan. It's not a series that ever, you know, meant that much to me, but I knew plenty of people who loved, you know, like the first Tony Hawk games and Underground and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I feel terrible that, hey, here's this, you know, it's Tony Hawk 5. This is the last, if not the last, you know, certainly the next big entry into this franchise, and for it to come out and just be the worst possible reception to this game.
Yeah.
You know, I can't think of another game in recent memory that had that kind of cachet in terms of, you know, a storied history of games and a franchise that came out and was just as big of a thud. Maybe, you know, what was that last Assassin's Creed game? Unity?
Maybe? Oh, Unity.
Yeah, that was probably the last good example of that, I think. I think you're right. Because that game, I mean, just broken when it came out.
Yeah. Do you know there's a new Assassin's Creed game? Like, by the time this drops, it will be out.
Yeah, I know. I heard about that the other day. I was like, oh, really? I'm not playing that.
I haven't seen, you know, any ads or anything. It's nothing. Just like, oh, by the way.
Well, and that's, I mean, so there's that trend in video games again lately where when reviewers aren't getting, you know, advanced copies of games, and there's like always that word, it's like, oh, they haven't, you know, reviewers are getting this on release day. Like, you have to be kind of nervous now. You're like, well, why are they doing that? And it's like, okay, here comes a new Assassin's Creed that we've not even advertised. Like, they used to spend gazillions of dollars, you know, billboards and shit all over the place every single time one of these Assassin's Creeds is coming out, and this one has just got nothing. So,
yep,
that's not a good sign.
No. Anyway. Stupid companies.
I know. I'm going to skip some of these because I feel like we talk about Star Citizen a lot.
Oh, you mean the game that'll never come out?
Yeah. I don't know where to land on that one. I watched a trailer that's got like I mean, they have some cast in that thing now. Gary Oldman's attached to Star Citizen. Mark Hamill. There's like some big name actors that are doing voiceover work for this trailer, where Gary Oldman's giving like a yay rah rah speech. You know, like there's things happening.
Gillian Anderson.
Gillian Anderson. Fucking nerd paradise, man. She's, oh my god, her voice is gonna be in my game. Oh. So that's all I want to say about Star Citizen. Anyway. More fucked up news about Star Wars Battlefront. You can find plenty of that out there. Criterion founders tease Burnout spiritual successor. Former Criterion devs hint at a successor to Burnout. Two separate titles that say the same thing, essentially. That sounds awesome. We just talked about that.
All four. Yeah. Apparently someone's listening to the show. Well done.
Yeah.
Let's hope it's not another Tony Hawk 5.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
It's original, two original developers from Criterion Games are apparently kind of trolling the, not in the internet sense of trolling, actually like the phishing sense of trolling, where you're trying to find things instead of piss people off. Asking people, hey, if there was a Burnout game, which one would you want it to be like? And it seems like people are resoundingly saying either Burnout 3 or... I always forget the name of the great one that was just out.
Paradise.
Yeah.
So they're kind of getting a lot of Paradise with a little Burnout 3 thrown in there, and do it, make that happen. I need a driving game that's stupid, blow up shit, run into traffic, and get points for damaging city buses and things.
Oh god, that game is genius.
Yeah,
it's so simple. You know, it's always the simple ideas that are the best.
Yeah.
And
drive, smash into shit. When they crash, it's in slow motion.
Yes.
It looks awesome.
Yep.
Which is why I like Mad Max a lot. Crash into shit, and it looks awesome. Doom multiplayer closed alpha signups now available, Justin. Run. Don't walk. Run to your internet.
Run to mass murder in Doom.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how that game turns out.
Me too.
Yeah.
I feel like we haven't talked about that much, just because it almost seems like a thing that isn't real to me for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's a new Doom game?
So
really?
This is, like, Bethesda owns this now, right?
Yes.
Because they put it... So, based on how fucking awesome Wolfenstein The New Order was, I have a lot of faith that this might be sweet. So, I'm not normally a faith guy. But Bethesda does pretty good shit, and I really, really like that last Wolfenstein game. So, I have high hopes, let's say, instead of faith. So, go out there, and if you're interested, I forget... If there's a cutoff, you can just go to id Software's website, and they have registration for their beta. Somebody do that.
Tell me on that, Justin.
Good. My last one here, I'll do this as the last story. They, in continuing Hearthstone news, I found this was kind of just an interesting topic. From they are gimping a card that, when combined with other cards, kind of unleashes fury in games. It apparently has it's the Warsong Commander. When you play this card, it gives other cards on your that you have on the playing field, or every card you play subsequently after it has charge, which means that it can do whatever the card is supposed to do on that turn instead of having to wait until your next turn. If you're familiar with card games, this is like kind of a standard mechanic in the game. So they're gimping this card. Because when combined with another card, the Grim Patron, which whenever he survived damage, he would spawn another version of yourself, of itself, which if you had this other card on the field, would immediately have charge and be able to act immediately. So people would put a bunch of these, they'd put down the Warsong Commander, which gives cards charge, then they would play the Grim Patron, which when it gets hurt, spawns another copy of itself. So you could play the first card, put down a couple of these Grim Patrons, and then do a spell that maybe caused one damage, and then all of a sudden you would have four of these Grim Patrons on your field that all had charge and all do three damage apiece. So you could just basically take someone out in one turn if you played a combination of these cards correctly. So they're gimping the first card so that it does not give charge to everybody and instead just like gives them one more attack point. And there's like the standard card battling game furor going on between people where half of the people are saying, well, that completely fucking ruins the best deck in the game. And then the other people who are like, good, it completely fucking ruins the best deck in the game. And I kind of fall on the latter side because if I don't like playing Hearthstone when you start getting higher up the ladder and you come up against somebody who's got like one of these pre-made decks that you start to see more often when you get higher up the ladder, because the point of that game is like all cards should be somewhat viable for it to be more fun for me, I think. It's just like, if you got to gimp a card because it's part of the most powerful deck in the game, that means that card was fucking overpowered. That's how I see it.
Yeah. Right, right. You know, sometimes you got to nerf that stuff.
Yeah. So it's interesting because this second card, the Grim Patron card, which copies itself, was a more recently released card. Like it came out in their most recent expansion. And the original card, the one that gives them all charge, was a part of the original card set for the game that you can only use if you're using the warrior character. It's a class specific card. And the thing I find interesting about this kind of stuff is that there are so many permutations of how cards interact with each other in this game as they get further along in, you know, releasing new cards and things like that, that obviously the developers didn't realize that this would be a problem when they put it out at first. And it took like people who are very familiar with the mechanics of this game to kind of discover these combinations. I think that part of it's really cool. But they need to do it in a more balanced way. That's kind of my two cents on it.
Yeah. Well, sure. Sure.
Yeah. I'm still playing Hearthstone, by the way. I love that game.
God, I haven't played it in a long time. I feel like I'm out of the loop completely.
So easy to get back. Well, and that's the thing. Like I'm not ever going to be a high level player in that game, but it's like a fun, it's basically a good toiletry other than it's kind of long. So it's more of a couch-a-tree. You got to sit on your couch and play a little Hearthstone. Like when you got, you know, if you're like mainlining some sitcom or something off of Hulu or Netflix, you can play a little Hearthstone while it's going on. Just kind of
couch a tree. You mean a game?
A game. Yes. Just a normal game, John. That's what it's called. That's about it for news. There's a bunch of other shit that happened, but I don't want to talk about Star Wars Battlefront anymore.
Is it just bumming you out too much?
There's like, I'll just read the headlines here. Star Wars Battlefront Walker Assault Mode to be changed because it's, quote, too tough. Star Wars Battlefront developer acknowledges beta balancing issues. Star Wars Battlefront beta, played by 9 million, will not have dedicated voice chat. That's stupid.
Yep.
Whoa, what?
No dedicated voice chat. Yeah, like, it keeps getting worse. Every fucking thing that comes out about this game, you're just like, why? Why would you do that?
They're taking a page out of the Destiny playbook.
Just want Star Wars to be fun, and they're going to make it not fun. That's the news. I'm going to take a nap.
And that's the sad news. All right, well, what do you say we roll over to some questions here? Let's start with Alan Phoenix Epstein. Axes us. Do you guys have any favorite horror games you like to play around Halloween? What about you, David?
Horror games I like to play around Halloween?
That's the question on the table, yes.
Okay, good. I wasn't paying attention.
Professional. Totally, yeah. Professional.
Good.
Told you guys. This show is a professional endeavor. I actually don't really play anything around Halloween particularly. Yeah, I just really don't. I mean, I have a couple horror games on my PC, but I just, you know, I spend most of my time watching horror movies. Mm-hmm. And because there's so few decent horror games to actually play, that it's just like, meh. You know, I got my Halloween on with the movies.
We had a kind of a similar question, I'm going to say an episode or two ago because time things happen with the show, where somebody asked us about kind of horror games that we liked, and I was trying to nail down what I like about horror, and I kind of went down a road where I was thinking more like apocalyptic, you know, things are kind of what I'm into instead of like your jump scare stuff. And I remember I couldn't come up with a really good example. And I've been thinking about it since then because I was kind of disappointed with my ability to answer that question. And something I came up with was The Last of Us. That's a fucking horror game to me.
Yes. Because
just fucking grim. The world is shit. Not necessarily, you know, there's zombies and shit in that game too, but it's not like a typical slasher or, you know, jump scare kind of thing. It's just more, this is really fucked up, you know. So that, I've got that on my PS4 and I still have not finished it. And this question brought that back to my mind, and I'm like kind of excited to go down that road again as like a Halloween game. So
yeah, that's a real strong candidate for maybe best horror game of all time. I mean,
most fucked up game.
It's grim, that's for sure.
It's really, really bad. Yeah, but fun, plays great, looks great. It's one of those games. It's rough.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think we talked about The Road as a point of comparison, and that's probably the closest to.
Yeah, yeah.
The Road, the video game you're gonna get.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
What about you, Justin? You like the scary games? You like being frightened?
I mean, I don't think I play anything specifically around Halloween. Although, just in the little bit we've talked, Project Zomboid.
Oh yeah, that's fun.
I mean, that one's, the zombies are quite overwhelming, and you get a sense of fright in that. I feel like I'd probably play that.
That's kind of like that's the isometric one, right? Where you're kind of doing, right. Yeah, the three-quarter view. That one's kind of fun. I like that. And you can pick that up on Steam for cheap on a sale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of, Last of Us is actually a good idea. In a kind of similar vein, the Telltale Walking Dead season one.
Oh, yeah.
Which is now available on Xbox for free.
Yeah. Huh? Nice. Part of their Games with Gold.
Yeah.
I think that is one of the best pieces of horror storytelling in video games, you know, and I'm not as big on the jump scare style of video games as I am, you know, like watching a horror film, of being engaged in the story and the, you know, and that was one of the first games, you know, particularly with that Telltale series where, you know, they'll take a licensed product and do a video game wrapped around it. But much like, you know, Game of Thrones and even Tales from the Borderlands to an extent. But Walking Dead Season 1 was the first time I played a game where it was just like, oh, all of these decisions are terrible.
Yeah.
You're just looking for the least bad among them.
Do you want to cut off your arm, or do you want to turn into a zombie? By the way, you're going to turn into a zombie.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, all that stuff I thought was really good, and I've actually been thinking of going back and playing that again just because I do enjoy the story of that so much.
It was really good. That was a really good story in that game.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, hope that answers your question. Matt Walsh asks us, keeping with the near Halloween theme, do any of you have any experienced opinions regarding The Evil Within?
I've never played it.
Never played it.
Did you play that, David, I want to
say? Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Do you have any experience/opinions regarding The Evil Within?
It was fucking annoying.
Hmm.
I mean, I understand that it gets better, but I didn't get past like the first stealth section because I was like, fuck this. This is stupid.
What was the problem?
Oh, it was just, oh God, it was super frustrating. Like the stealth, like I hate stealth sections in non-stealth games in general because they're typically really poorly designed, like this one was. And you're like trying to escape from some dude with like a chainsaw or something or other. And it's just... It was just frustratingly difficult to get through, and I'm just like, fuck this. Like, I maybe played the game for half an hour, and was just like, nope, not dealing with this, fuck this game.
Yeah, it kind of looked a little, you know, and maybe I am totally off base on this, but it looked a little Dark Souls-ish to me, in that it was sort of a lot of, hey, I'm gonna go through this area. I'm gonna learn the pattern of what gets me killed, and then the next time I go through it, I will do something differently. Until I get through it, if that makes sense.
You put that on the box for pretty much any stealth game.
maybe so. None of the gameplay I saw really wowed me to the point that I felt an urge to play it. I don't know. Sorry, Matt. The one of us who played it did not enjoy it that much.
I thought it was great, having not played it. I really, really liked it.
Having no experience at all with it.
Just to be the counter to David.
Yeah.
Game of the year.
Game of whatever year it came out, because I don't know.
Yeah.
Was it last year? Did it come out last year or this year?
Yeah, I think it's last year.
Okay. So, the last question we have, Casey Bates asks us, after a weekend of nonstop Star Wars Battlefront beta, I would like to know your favorite Star Wars game. If not a Star Wars fan, how about your favorite game based on a sci-fi or fantasy film / TV series? None of us are Star Wars fans. So what is the best Star Wars? Knights of the Old Republic is far and away the best Star Wars game. But
The RPG, the old,
WarioWare.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, that was just revolutionary. It was, the graphics on it were phenomenal.
Rogue Squadron for the N64.
Yes, that's a good one.
Might have to go along that line. I might have to go TIE Fighter. Loved the shit out of some TIE Fighter back in the day. Love Battlefront 2. But I also really like the what the fuck were they called? The Jedi Knight series.
Oh, sure.
Jedi Academy specifically. Yeah. I really liked that game a lot because it was the first one where you could like force choke a stormtrooper and then like throw them off of a Cloud City platform and they would go screaming to their death. That was some tight shit right there. Yeah, and there's been some good Star Wars games. There's been a lot of bad Star Wars games, but
Star Wars Arcade.
That was decent, man. You know what was really good, actually, was the Empire Strikes Back version that was the vector arcade game where you had to shoot the little things at the Snowwalker legs. That was really cool. Yeah,
original Star Wars video game, like the cabinet game, is really good.
It's classic, man.
You know,
Trench Run over and over again. It was great.
Can we all agree that those Super Nintendo Star Wars games are not as good as memory might lead you to believe?
Those are fucking terrible.
They weren't good at the time either. They were like somebody. It was like Bionic Commando without the arm. And just like kind of side scrolly, it was like a translation of what was the horrible TMNT, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game on old like Nintendo consoles and shit. Was just like, this is not like the arcade game. I don't like this. And so those old side scroller Star Wars games were just like, I don't know, like, oh well, let's put Star Wars on this and make the guy kind of look like Luke Skywalker, I guess.
Yeah, and they were incredibly punishing. Just not very fun. And
there was that era of cartridge video games where they were just so fucking hard. Like, there wasn't really ever all that much game to them. Like, they weren't very long, but they were so goddamn impossible that it gave you, like, the illusion of there being more game than there actually was. So,
Any other, while we're on the subject, though, any other, like, great science fiction games other than, obviously, Wing Commander 3, which I contend is one of the great video games of all time?
I actually really liked Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. I believe
that
I played it.
That is not science fiction.
PS2, that's a fantasy was part of the question. Fantasy. All right. In the question, I can see it. It had, like, the whole game wasn't, all good, but there was a section on it where you had to like go up the tower, and it was kind of almost like its own little mini game where you were Aragorn and you had your sword and you were on level one and it was just a disc. And if you went towards the edge of the disc, you would fall off the disc and you would fucking die. So you had to battle all these, you know, warriors and goblins and shit on the disc. And then when you killed all the guys on level one, you went to level two, and it was like this 20 level tall progression. And I remember sitting with my roommates at the time, and we like got to that section in the game, and we created a game save at the bottom of that, and we would just keep reloading that game save and doing this tower section over and over. And it wasn't really like you didn't have to complete this thing to further the story forward. It was just like this kind of part of the game that was like this really hard challenge that you could do, and it ended up being better than the rest of the game. Just, I don't know, it was kind of arcadey in that sense, where it was like, this is just the 20 level thing you got to do here. It was like the control was really good on it. I just remember being it was like the graphics, the controls, everything was really good on that game for, you know, comparable titles at the time. It was a lot of fun.
Anybody else on the sci-fi fantasy tip?
Moonlander.
Sure. We're going with the classics.
I don't know of any, like, right off the top of my head that really stand out. I mean, there's some Star Trek games that have been fun, like Bridge Commander, but nothing that's like a... I mean, if you count, like, Elite Dangerous in there or something like that. But
yeah.
I mean, Wing Commander 3, no bullshit. Great game.
Great game.
I played a lot of Wing Commander. That was good stuff.
Yeah, that, Wing Commander 3 had some of the campiest FMV.
That was the one with, like, what's her name?
Ginger Lynn
and Malcolm McDowell, and, yeah.
Yeah, and Biff from Back to the Future.
I own that on Origin.
I think I do as well. Yeah.
I think it was free.
Which is the best price for that game. But the thing that was cool about it is that it followed a very sci-fi storyline. The space combat was really fun. Yeah, it was a great game. And, I mean, Mass Effect 2.
Yeah, there's a good sci-fi example. That was a good series, man.
If only they had done something with that series. So, yeah, I think that's going to wrap it up for our questions. Much appreciated, Alan, Matt, and Casey, for chiming in, asking us a couple of questions about the video games, which we all know and love. And, we will kick it around the horn one last time and see what everyone is going to be playing coming up. Let's start with David J. Anders. What are you looking forward to playing in the coming days?
I will most likely be playing Destiny and fucking Dragon Age. But as far as new shit coming out, looking forward to Tomb Raider, Fallout 4, hopefully Guitar Hero is good.
I'm very curious about that one myself.
Yeah, but yeah, it's going to be Tomb Raider, Fallout, Destiny.
Oh God, we're so close to Fallout. Are you kidding me?
WWE 16.
What is the release date for Battlefront? Isn't it right around Fallout? It's November, isn't it?
Who gives a shit?
No, I'm just like, they're going up against Fallout.
And it's dead to me.
It's not looking good.
It's dead to me.
I want it to be good.
It's not. It's bad.
I know.
I'm so disappointed to hear this, but all right, anyway. Justin McFerrin, what kind of crazy games are you going to be playing?
There's this early access game coming out, tomorrow, called Dust, and it's basically like a army warfare game, but the crux of it is like all the bullet physics are like super crazy realistic, and like you have to adjust the windage on your sights like you would have to in real life, so you can't just start shooting off into the distance.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
But this is the genius of Justin McFerrin, because this is why I want you to play the shit out of this game.
Yep.
And I want you to come back and report all the obscure and crazy things you had to do.
And then when the apocalypse happens, I'm coming to Nashville because I'm going to need somebody who knows what windage is.
Yeah. Well, that would be like the only time I've ever shot a shotgun. I went skeet shooting and I shot 27 out of 30 targets. And the guy was just like, I'd never shot a shotgun before in my life. And the guy's like, you know, how good, how'd you get that good? I was like, video games.
Point gun, go home.
Yeah.
So good. God bless you, sir. John Nolan, how about yourself?
Mad Max, I'm totally in love with that game right now. And then to break it up, I might throw in a little Last of Us for the Halloween season. Get myself good and depressed before I go on a nice sugar high.
That's always the way to do it, is get yourself to the very peak.
Yeah, and I'm toying around with picking up the Nathan Drake collection as well. Because I've never played any of those games.
I highly, highly recommend the Uncharted series as a whole. I think I may pick that up as well. I'm just curious to see. I know that they've done some fine tuning with some of that, and the more that series went on, I still think that Uncharted 2 is the high water mark in that series, but the control scheme for 3 and just the responsiveness of it was the best of the series. And if they've gone back and applied those controls to 1 and 2, oh my goodness.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to pick that up.
That, you know, I've said it before, that game is, or that game series is just the Indiana Jones games you always wish they would have made.
Nice. Sold.
Yeah, yeah, it's real good, and you should probably pick up Destiny.
Yeah.
It's much better than Cats. I will play it again and
again.
Again
and again. I like it better than
I like the fact that the old guys on this show are the one laughing at that. And David
Night
and Justin.
Saturday Night Live, kids, look it up.
Right. The old school Jim Belushi years. Not John Belushi, Jim Belushi.
Jim Belushi years, yes.
All right, guys. Well, as always, you can find more of the silliness at sdfgaming.com, at sdfgaming on Twitter. And links to, you know, Facebook and Twitter and email, all of that on the front page of sdfgaming.com, where you can also see some videos and reviews and all kinds of fun stuff. So please, if you would, if you enjoy the show, hit us up on iTunes, leave us a review, leave us a rating, recommend us to friends and video gamers or people you don't care for much, whatever your read on the show is, do some of that. And we will be back in about 2 weeks, where we will be discussing hopefully no more Metal Gear. I feel good about the Metal Gear content of this show, in that it was kept to a minimum. We will talk about the disappointment of Battlefront some more, I'm sure. And man, we are so close to Fallout. I feel like the next episode is just going to be, holy God, do you realize how close we are to playing Fallout, you guys?
We're really close.
You guys. Oh my God, you guys. Yeah. But until then, by all means, drop us a line at sdfgaming.com, and we will see you very soon. Say goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, everybody.
Give us 5 stars on Taint. The new gaming service brought to you by sdfgaming.com.
Taint.
Taint. Where none of your refunds will be worth anything.
Taint.
Where none of your games will work except Taint. On Mac.
Not Steam.
Taint is a Mac exclusive game platform. Unfortunately, no controllers work with it.
Nor will any of the games you purchase.
I'd like to announce that Taint has just filed for bankruptcy.